This show
Really?
is not for the easily offended, and show notice the explicit tag. If you don't like the curse words, fuck off.
Put the mic down and walk away. No one wants to hear the shit you say.
Welcome to the WrestleCast episode. Katie, what episode is this?
35.
Each and every week, we're bringing together the top minds that we can find and have a roundtable discussion about what is happening in the wrestling industry this week. If you would like to join in the conversation, there are three different ways. Follow us at DSJNPCOM on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. That is facebook.com/DSJNP. Or if you want to hear Wayne fuck up your emails each week with his great reading skills, you can email us at DSJNP.com@gmail.com. We don't ask for money. I don't ask for money. I don't ask for anything. But just please rate us and share us wherever you listen. Stitcher, still waiting on an email from you. And Canada, we're still waiting on an email from you to see how the network is. Now let's go to the panel, everybody. This week, as you just heard, we have Katie, the First Lady. Hello, Katie.
Hello.
Katie, real quick, can you tell us how you got your name, the First Lady?
Katie, the First Lady, came from T-Mac, co-host of the Spanish Announce Table. I was their first female contributor on the show, and they dubbed me the First Lady.
Come on.
That is really that is really cool. That was DRG. DRG, tell us how you got your name.
My name is a long story, but just like with DRG, the bigger the stories are, the more impressive the victory.
Just shorten it up, buddy, real quick.
I got it from my great-grandfather's passion and love for wrestling, believing that my grandmother's maiden name, Garvin, was actually tied into Ronnie Garvin. So apparently he was a longtime distant relative of ours and somehow. And according to my old MIRC days, because I've been in the IWC for that long, I joined a group called the Dark Side, hence Dark Side Ron Garvin, a.k.a. Mr. DRG.
Wayne is a baker. Hello, Wayne.
I got my nickname because I wanted a Twitter handle, and I thought, what do I do for my job? That's it.
Wayne is actually a baker, if you guys didn't know. I mean, Twitter, and his biscuits suck.
It's cookies.
Whatever. And then Heavyset, how did you get your name? Should I ask?
You want to ask me now, or do you want to wait till later in the show?
I want to wait till later in the show for you.
Okay.
Yeah, I do.
Teaser.
Teaser. All right, guys. In case you're new to the show, which we always have a lot of new listeners every week, first segment is Keep, Toss, or Improve. We name something we want to keep, toss, or improve out of this week in wrestling. What's on? What are you watching? What are you listening to? What is on? This week, we're going to do a roundup of TNA Bound for Glory, which happened in Japan this week. That was heavy sleeping. We're going to do the audio biography. Get it? Audio biography. Wayne's water cooler. What the rumors going on around the internet this week. Comments from the net, which is where we read all the emails. And then we have a special segment that Heavy did this week, which is Tag Me a Date. It is a dating site for wrestling fans. It's called Tag Me a Date. And then we have Best of the Week and Free for All, which is also Question of the Week, if I have one this week. So let's start out with, as always, Katie, the First Lady. Keep, toss, or improve, young lady.
Oh, thanks for calling me young.
You're welcome.
Okay. My keep this week is I love the possibly starting the feud between Rollins and Orton. The tension between them last night on Raw, I thought was great. And they both had really excellent matches, especially Orton and Ziggler. The way Ziggler took that RKO, I thought was amazing. And this looks like it might be the babyface turn for Randy Orton. I think Rollins might be the perfect guy for his opponent, probably after Hell in a Cell. So I really like that.
All right. DRG, what do you think about that? Or did you make it that far?
I made it that far. I do like that because the build of the dynamic might potentially push Orton face, but the way that they're sitting right now, they don't have to make Randy Orton a face in order for that feud to be very interesting.
I totally agree. Totally agree with both of you guys. Wayne?
Nah, totally worked for me. I loved it last night when Orton was sort of crouched outside the ring during Rollins' match. I just think them two have actually got some sort of chemistry as well. The way that, like, even a few weeks ago on, like, Raw and SmackDown and that, when Norton, like, threw hissy fit about having to clear up Rollins' mess every week. I think they might have some sort of chemistry, so that'd be exciting. Obviously, as the feud with them before was when they're in the Shield and they were attacking Orton, so they never sort of had a one-on-one chance to sort of see what they could do. So no, I'd be quite interested.
I like the way that he kept creeping closer and closer to the ring during Rollins' match, and just like slowly, that it helped build the anticipation, because the closer he got to the ring, you're like, is he going to do it? Is he going to do it? Is he going to do it?
I think Orton in general last night was just on fire, to be honest. I think
Except for that shirt.
Don't you like it? I don't know whether I do or not. I don't think it's the right color.
Yeah, exactly. The baby blue was just, no. If they would have had like a green or something, I'd have been okay with it. But that baby blue on Orton just, it kind of didn't work for me.
I wear pink. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Yeah, but we want Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, damn it.
Where is Testicular Cancer Month?
They don't have it.
Seriously? They don't have it at all?
No, they don't have it.
Prostate cancer?
Because it affects yeah, too many white people.
They have prostate cancer, though.
They are G.
I'm just saying, okay, I'm going to be quiet on that one, I think. Evie, you want to say, did you get your chance to say, I'm sorry, I had to step away. Did you get a chance to say something about that, Randy Orton?
No, I don't want to see him as a face. Because I feel like the past couple years, he's faced, and we're sitting there waiting for him to turn heel. He turns heel, and now we're waiting, but now we're, you know, waiting for him to turn face again. I mean, he can stay heel and do everything he can do that way. I like what he's doing. I love the interaction with him and Seth Rollins, but there's a better solution than just to turn him back to face.
I agree. Like, I don't think he should be turned face at all, ever. Randy is such a powerful heel that he just deserves his own. He needs to step away from this main event picture. He needs to step away from the authority. He needs to go and do his own thing. Mess, and just like DRG and I were going at it on Twitter, mess with the mid-card for a while, Randy. Step away, go down to the mid-card. You'll bring everyone else up with you to that middle level and just have fun really, really, really messing with those guys.
I was going to say, because there's no one at face the same level as him left for him to go with, is there, to be honest? So.
No, but that's the good thing.
Yeah, that's why I brought up last week who we thought we should go against. And there's really, outside of Bray, which is who you said, Vamp, outside of Bray, there really wasn't anybody on the upper echelon level that we could think of. So the natural progression was to drop him down. But I think a lot of this, like if they were to turn him face right now, it's just going to seem like a panic attack movement where they're just hitting the panic button and flipping one of their top draws because, you know, Bray, you know, Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns are both out right now. That's what it's going to come across as to me.
I'm just trying to think of what else he could do other than Ziggler and, you know, when Wade Barrett comes back and when Bray Wyatt comes back. We don't even know what's going on with Bray Wyatt. Evidently, he impregnated some lady. I don't know what the fuck that was, but I'm just saying.
It's coming. In his rocking chair.
Yeah, he impregnated some stripper in his rocking chair. It's coming, literally. I think he came on some chick. I don't know what the fuck happened.
How freaky is it going to be if they come out with, like, the Octo Baby? Only instead of an Octo Baby, it's going to be one that's a Siamese twin.
It's going to be a Stewie.
Eight heads on one baby. That's going to be so creepy.
Isn't it weird how that happened once I went back to the James Storm shed as well?
It's a sex shed, man. That's what happens. It's for raping. But right. Hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your husbands. We all getting raped in the shed.
I just can't think of anything else. I mean, okay, I can think of one thing. Ryback. He could fight Ryback.
Oh, big guy.
He could fight Ryback. If he became a face again, he could really go against Ryback. But as heavy as...
Well, Ryback's injured.
Is he injured? I thought he was just taking a break.
He's coming back.
Surgery. Was injured. Like he posted a video on Twitter maybe a month or so ago where he was like in a hospital bed and everything.
Jesus. Oh, okay.
And he's under anesthetic.
I got a better plan for the future for Ryback.
Go ahead. Go ahead. You want to say it?
I don't want to, but I'll.
You don't have to.
You'll hear it here first, and you might hear it somewhere else later. But imagine this. Now it's gonna. You already know the ending, but the perfect way to bring him back is against Rusev.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
He goes through every, like, Rusev goes through whatever, blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden, you know, we get another one of those promos with Lana and Rusev in the ring, running their mouth, and then all of a sudden, Ryback's music hits. He stomps out and just hit Rusev and Ryback face to face.
Would you have Ryback win then, the feud?
Yes.
Awesome. I agree. Right. I'm on board then. I sold it.
I just want him to use the catchphrase that Chris Canyon used to use. Who better than the big guy? When he challenges and Lana brings out something and she goes, who can stop him? He walks out, grabs the microphone and says, who better than the big guy? And then stomps down.
Okay. All right. Katie, keep toss or improve.
My improve is the main event from Raw. I thought the match could have been a lot better. I felt it was rushed, and it might have been because it was close to the end of the show, but I felt it could have been a lot better than what it was.
Yeah, the ending wasn't that, like, spectacular, was it? It didn't feel like that cool
big match.
Yeah, it really didn't. It just kind of fizzled towards the end, didn't it?
To me, they probably should have maybe waited for next week's Raw to do it. They would have had a lot more time to build it better.
I don't know about that. Yeah, I don't know about that, but it just didn't seem, I understand what you mean. Like, it just didn't seem like it ended very fluidly.
Well, for any type of pay-per-view, you want your main events officially set before you go into that last week of Raw. Normally the last week of Raw, your go-homes, you're bringing home or tying in like any of those other matches.
Is this a go? This isn't a go-home.
No, next week.
Yeah, next week. Yeah, next week.
That's what I'm saying. That's why you don't have it next week. Yes. Because you're creating one of your main events on the last week, and normally you want it at least.
I have a feeling that they're going to make all the other matches next week instead of, I think they're doing opposite. So we have the main event for this week. Well, actually, we have both the double main event for this week. And then next week, I think, is they're going to concentrate more on the mid-card to see what
they
those main events are going to be.
Couple, yep. Like,
what they
announce?
What they announce, Katie?
The Bellas are having a match. Duh. And I think Big Show and Rusev are having a match.
Yeah, we knew that was happening, but Jesus.
Yeah, that's all I've heard so far. I think the rest of next week or SmackDown, they'll announce more.
Does anybody else want to talk about the ending or no? DRG didn't make it.
You know why it didn't feel as big as it could have?
Why?
Because every time that you have something on a pole, there has to be a swerve. And without Russo riding that swerve, the on the pole matches just don't work.
Seriously, you're going to bring up his name? You know what I'm going to do with that.
If you have an on the pole match, that's the stigma of Russo.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't escape that. That'd be like if that's like a tag team match for Theodore Long. You know, he's not the one who wrote it. That's who you tie it to.
That's who he is, yeah. Wayne, you want to say the last word on the ending of Raw?
Not really. I think that's never going to be massive, was it? When I was really pumped for the main event from the first segment, and then that sort of, obviously I watch it on a stream online, and it got to like under 10 minutes to the end of the show. I was like, oh, this isn't going to be that epic, is it?
No.
That sort of pre-ruined it for me with the time being left, and that sort of, they spent more time with the entrances of every fucking Tom, Dick and Harry come down to the ring than there was a match.
I think
having the Authority out there and Rollins, Orton, and Kane was a little bit distracting as well.
I'll say one thing. They did a great job of making you get what you want with the Rollins and Ambrose match and not pissing you off for what you're going to get in the Cena and Randy Orton match.
I think Orton deserves a feud of his own, not just being tagged on a fake second main event. Never mind.
How'd that go again?
Wait, yeah, how'd that go again, Wayne?
Bloody, that's all they kept going, oh, it's the second main event, shit yourself. Yeah. And it's like, it really isn't.
It really isn't, yeah. All right, DRG, keep tossing improve, my man. You watched BFG. What could you possibly want to talk about?
You know what I honestly want to keep from Bound for Glory? The biggest keep that I want from that show, I want the professor. I want Mike Tenay that called that show to call every week on Impact, because he gave you the history of Quirk and Hall. He gave you the history behind certain matches like Manic versus Tanaka, and understanding that Manic, TJ Perkins, was the youngest person to join New Japan Pro Wrestling and that his mentor at the time was Tanaka. That professor that was fully invested calling lucha matches with excitement, I want that back weekly.
You're not going to get it.
I hope not. I hope they let him go for the contract, because over the past year and a half, he hasn't earned it.
He hasn't earned it. Oh, my God. But I'll say who's worse. Taz is worse. Taz made so many fucking botch spots in that last fucking Wednesday show that I watched. Oh, my God. That last Impact show I watched.
The Full funny Metal
thing
Man.
Is, yeah, the funny thing is, like, he can, they have the ability to edit what he says, and they still leave that fucked up shit in. Like, why don't they go back and edit some of that stuff?
Taz is a funny one. He's either a fantastic commentator or he's dog shit. There's no in between with Taz.
He was dog shit.
Because Bound for Glory, both of them really entertained me. They are the right level of just light banter and actually calling the match. I actually really enjoyed them. And then you'll go back to Impact and he's just playing the fucking clown again. That just gets so annoying. He's really, there's no middle ground with Taz.
God damn,
yeah, it literally is one or the other.
Yeah.
When he's calling the match, technically, and he's explaining moves and stuff and pressure points, and he's fucking brilliant. And then he'll just go off and start going on about, like, oh, knockouts calendar, I'm going to have a wang, and stuff like that. It's like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Let the pigeons loose! Blah. Yeah, it's annoying because they can't seem to get the consistency out of both of them, and I think, unfortunately, Tanay. If you watch Tanay back when he was with Don West, Don West's excitement for the product made Tanay excited. And whenever Taz has those days where he's just phoning it in, Mike Tanay follows suit.
Okay. DRG, that was your toss or improve?
No, that was my keep. My keep is the professor. Okay. I want that professor weekly.
I'm like, I didn't know what he said. Did he said something about professors, but I'm not sure what he meant. But
no, that Mike Tanay is the professor. That's gotcha. His catchphrase, kind of like Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Oh, okay, gotcha. All right, yeah, that's why I didn't understand. Go ahead. That was your keep. What's your toss or improve?
Improve. Bound for Glory. Needed story. That match quality, I am very happy with, and that was what I wrote my piece on for Talk TNA before Bound for Glory, where they Bound for Blame. The match quality is the only thing I expected out of that, and I got it. The four that I said to watch for all delivered. EC3 and Hama was fully entertaining, but there was no story. You didn't like it?
That was the one match that got me angry. I think that's such a waste of EC3 with a fat Rikishi ripoff.
But now he can call himself the international hardcore American icon. Who? Ham slam slam ham slam slam ham slam slam.
He's
ham,
fucking slam. Promo he cut before the match show was gold.
Oh, it was. And the thing is, Hama over there is kind of like what Tano is for, or Toro is for New Japan Pro Wrestling. He's that comedy character. And this gave EC3 that chance to be that comedy character when he was sitting there calling for the Hulkamania slam and raising his arms up in the air.
He went for it and it landed on him. That had me in tears, I'll go a bit. But no, when he said, I'm going to say this in the language so you understand. And he just started going, da, 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 da.
Me, EC3.
Oh.
Me, undefeated. I just spoke fluent language for y'all. That EC3 is gold. I don't care what anybody says.
All right.
But,
I'm going to cut you off right here. Both of you.
We got to review it later.
I was about to say, you guys are going to go on forever. Yeah. If I don't cut
Improve,
you off.
Improve, it needed story. Okay. The only story that was in there was what Mike Tanay told during the pay-per-view and James Storm and Sonata against Muta and Tajiri.
Because it's just like what WWE is doing with freaking Hell in a Cell. They're not building anything to it right now. Literally, what you got, they promoted Bound for Glory more last week than they did any time ever. It wasn't their biggest pay-per-view. WrestleMania, we get pumped for it 3 months advance. Bound for Glory should be the same way, but it just wasn't.
I'm hoping they get rid of calling it that. And they, like, Mike Tanay only said it like two or three times on the product. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that if they survive into 2015, Slammiversary becomes their biggest pay-per-view. That's what I'm hoping for.
Okay. All right, Wayne, keep toss or improve?
Gonna go with keep. I don't know the match times. Normally, this bit that I listen to on the internet actually give you like a match time, total match time on Raw. And that usually varies between, on a whole episode of Raw, you normally get 30 to 35 minutes of wrestling. And this week, unfortunately, I don't have the stats with me, but it felt like a lot.
There was a lot of long matches on Raw this week.
And I think for me, it benefited. I'm not normally promo over wrestling, like the actual pure product. I'm more storyline. I like the stories of wrestling rather than just matches. So That's why I'm a bit sort of like, Bound for Glory for me, you know, probably weren't the best thing to watch because I like stories and that was just like in-ring product. But this week, Raw, I think, benefited. There was less tripe and fucking backstage, you know, advertising and stuff. It felt more in-ring, right, more like...
You want it? You want it, Wayne? You ready? John Cena and Dean Ambrose defeated Goldust, Stardust, and the Usos in a triple threat match. 14 minutes, 20 seconds.
That's already half of the time they normally have on a Raw already.
AJ Lee, Alayla defeated Paige and Alicia Fox. 1 minute, 46 seconds.
There was 1 hour and 19 minutes of in-ring action this week.
Was it really?
That is, yeah, that wow. is
1 hour and 19 minutes.
Randy and Dolph went for 18 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Seth and Jack Swagger, 15-12. Rusev and Big Show by disqualification, 14. Miz and Sheamus, 5 minutes. Naomi, oh my God, that was the worst match ever. Naomi, Natalie, yeah, Brie Bella versus Rosa Mendez and Nene Leakes defeated Cameron, Summer Rae, and Nikki with 3 minutes, 34 seconds. That went on for about 3 minutes, 32 seconds 34. Too long. Dean Ambrose and John Cena, no holds bars, was 6 minutes, 28 seconds. So the longest match on the card, which was should have been the longest match on the card, was 18 minutes and 22, which was Randy Orton and Dolph Ziggler, and they deserved every second of it.
See, I'm more of a promo man, but that worked for me. It proves that you don't need it. The criticism of the Night of Raw, by all accounts, is I didn't find it boring at all, but a lot of people were saying that nothing happened, nothing progressed, which is fair enough. It probably didn't. You could have progressed a lot more with those sort of matches. But for me, that weren't a slow episode of Raw. It flowed. It is how Raw should be done with that amount of wrestling.
When you compare it to last week's, there was only 39 minutes of in-ring action on Raw last week.
Exactly. That is the way it should be, and there was no childish shit. I didn't mind the Divas segment, because that was the only one with that Nene Leakes or Kiki Leakes or whatever her face is.
All right. You want the real stats? Here's the real stats. Here's the ratings. Hour one, 3.83 million. Hour two, 3.75 million. Hour three, 3.66 million. They've declined.
Did you say 8 point something for the first hour?
3.8.
All right.
3.83. Hour two, 3.75. Hour three, 3.66. The fans don't like the wrestling. They just don't. I proved it right there, Wayne.
So they prefer fucking Slater-Gator and fucking 200.
Well, it says millions tad from 3.79 and garnered last week. So 3.79 last week. Let's see what. Hang on. Let me see what.
That's the conditioning of the WWE way. It is a variety show now. So the fans that are watching at home aren't expecting wrestling. It's a sports entertainment that they like.
It has to be. It has to be, because you have to hit all demographics. And they have, because it's a PG error, they have all demographics watching. They were up last week in hour one. So last week in hour one, they were only at 3.57. Hour two, they were at 3.89. And hour three, they were at 3.92. So they actually went up in the ratings throughout the night. And this week, they went down throughout the ratings of the night. So
you got to realize too, if the competition between NFL and also last week we had this guy come back named Dwayne.
Yeah,
never heard of him.
Yeah, I didn't.
Who?
Yeah, it was Dwayne.
Who is that?
His name is Dwayne.
My name's Wayne. Oh, no wonder the ratings bombed.
Admittedly, I did come on hour two, but that's a different matter.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
Can we go to the next?
All right,
please?
Moving on. Wayne, keep toss or improve.
My improve has to be, we've already dabbled with it, so you'll probably pass it on. Match card for in Hell in a Cell. Just don't seem like there's any build. Everything just seems like all they've done for the mid-card belts is swap the competitors. They've now just dumped Orton, the loser of the match, for this week. AJ and Paige has just had Alicia Fox thrown in. Whether or not she'll even make the final blow off for this month's feud between them two is a different point. It's all right. Us all keep bitching, moaning about there's no build. What could they have done? So why don't we say what we'd like to receive?
That's fine. I want to say two things real quick while I'm talking to Wayne. One, because Wayne's a big pervert, just like Jerry King Lawler. Did anybody notice Renee looked fucking fantastic this week?
Wow.
That was like a little...
Just as I unmute myself, I get a text.
Did anybody notice that?
The crickets, that
I did. I did get the crickets. I was like, what the fuck? She looked fantastic this week.
No, I was going to say it was kind of funny. She looked fantastic. She should have a segment with Dean.
Yeah, and she had a segment with Dean.
I just wanted him to lean over and kiss her on the forehead.
I did the same thing. And Paige has just been announced, Wayne, to be in the first season pass program for the WWE 2K15. So I guess Wayne's going to be Paige throughout his entire WWE 2K15 career.
Oh, that definitely will be downloadable content.
Yeah. Oh, really? Really?
Save that kind of crap for 2S, please.
Oh, my. For real, dude. Save that shit.
I'm sensible on that show. Thank you. I'll let you know.
Yeah, because you get all of it out on this evening when we talk about Paige.
Yeah, get your squirt out on the second show.
Probably because Claire's not home right now.
Yeah, that's true. No, she's home, but she's in bed. She's sleeping.
I was going to say, she's upstairs sleeping.
She's sleeping.
You sure she's sleeping?
Ooh,
I want to put that apron back on there, buddy.
WWE's hiring.
Paige is single.
Painfully single.
Oh my God! It's not even telling me right now. I'm trying to look up. That's why I'm buffeting, because I'm trying to look up what the match is.
You're buffeting. You're buffeting. Having a meal.
Yeah.
No, you're buffering. What's buffering?
Anyway, watching too much Top Gear this week. I'm trying to figure out what the matches are in Hell in a Cell, and I keep clicking on Hell in a Cell and everything on the WWE.com, and it keeps just bringing me to the network. Sign up for the network. Sign up for the network. So they don't know what's going to be on
Hell in
a Cell.
Sign up for the network to watch and find out what's going to be on there.
I already have the network and it didn't let me do it. Anyway, what else, Wayne? What you got? Keep to us or improve?
That was it. The improve the build for the Hell in the Cell. So we all keep moaning about
and then,
the card and the build. Mm-hmm. What would you
What's your next?
How would you build for the next Hell in a Cell? What matches would you use with the current roster and availability and stuff?
I would use a completely different pay per view. I would not do Hell in a Cell. I would call it something else.
And then I want Kane.
I think they should do that across the board. I don't like them having like match types as a pay-per-view. I'd much prefer when they just had default titles like No Mercy and Unforgiven.
Payback.
Wayne, you said that you liked Lockdown, right?
Yeah.
Remember I told you last week that that was one that they're getting rid of. You said you liked it. So
yeah, but that was like a default. But that's every match, DRJ, in like Hell in a Cell, where they've got to shoehorn one match into that. Do you know what I mean? Lockdown is like across the board.
So you want it to be a full gimmick pay-per-view with everything in the cell.
If you're going to do it, go for it.
I agree. Heavy?
Duh, Bears.
No, multitasking. Oh, what was that now?
We know you're driving. Hell in a Cell. No,
My quality went up. How am I driving?
Yeah, no,
it did.
You heard my phone text. How am I driving?
I wasn't arguing whether your quality went up or not. Relax. I know your
gimmick is back on.
You said I was driving, but how can you hear my phone if I'm driving?
I figured you were just doing something. I understand you're at work. I get it.
Get into my point, please.
Exactly. Thank you. Look, my point, Wayne's point is that if you're going to have something like a pay-per-view named Hell in a Cell or Elimination Chamber or Contract on a Pole match, then have all the matches that way. Just like,
see, I wouldn't have Hell in a Cell as like Hell in a Cell and have all of them as Hell in a Cell because you'll ruin that match. But just a simple cage, exactly like Lockdown, just a minor stipulation all the way through. If you're going to do it, go for it full-headedly. Don't just one or
so
two.
So like the TLC pay-per-view should have every match as a TLC.
See, you've got to pick your thing right, because that would get boring after a while. See, Lockdown, just a simple cage match for one pay-per-view a year.
See, this is where I disagree, where the TLC match should be all the matches, but the matches should be longer, and they should have more participants in them, as in the tag team TLC match, or the, you know, triple threat tag team match, or the fatal four-way tag team TLC match, or whatever you want to call it.
Just do all mid-card titles.
Yeah.
Like, have one for, I hate to say this, but have one for the Divas, have one for the U.S., one for the IC, one for the tag, and one for the world.
I agree.
The WWE pay-per-view, I'd like to see all of that match kind. Money in the Bank, I'd like to see all ladder matches. For all the titles and then the contract. Then the main event being obviously the title. I'd love that if they done a whole, because there's so much you can do with a ladder match. That's just me.
Have you said?
Can Heavy make his point now?
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of gimmick pay-per-views, even just being period. Just give it an overall name, even in your house with simple something that doesn't stick to it, and then you can use your Hell in the Cell, your TLC matches at your own leisure. That's just kind of ruining it. Like, you're basically expecting these matches to happen now. It was much better when they came out of nowhere.
Not that, when they actually fit the rivalry.
That too.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. But still, you have to, you know, next year at Hell in the Cell, we're going to see a Hell in the Cell match. Mm-hmm. Actually, I should say the only one that works, because it's been tailored the right way, chamber. Is Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, I agree.
And Royal Rumble, but hey.
Yeah, but that's different. But yeah. Elimination Chamber totally fits. It's one match. We all know it's for the World Heavyweight Championship. We know where they're going. They have to earn their spots in it, just like Royal Rumble. So it's more like Royal Rumble than it is Hell in a Cell, which is why Hell in a Cell doesn't fit. Hell in a Cell should be used throughout the year, at least twice, in a rivalry. Don't get me wrong, Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose earned it. They have earned it. John Cena, Randy Orton haven't earned it, and neither has anybody else. Nothing is compelling. There's a reason why we want Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose in a Hell in a Cell, so Seth Rollins can't run away.
One more thing.
Wait, hang on. Katie, are we wrong? Are we right? Tell us. Come on. You're the normal one here.
I agree. Hell in the Cell should be used as a special match and not just as a pay-per-view, because it's that special.
So you say you agree that it should be taken away. No pay-per-view, done. It's gone. Yeah. It's faded. Mm-hmm. It's had its moment in the sun. It's done.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Go ahead, Wayne. One last thing.
I like the way I get told to shut up on my own point, but never mind.
Hey, shut up, Wayne.
Use of blood. Would you like to see it in that Hell in a Cell match with Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose or not?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think that you absolutely have to have it in order to tell a good story, but I don't think that it would detract. I think it would elevate. So, yes.
Yep.
I think this is the one. Heavy, we'll ask you as well. Don't want to leave you out.
Yeah, you better not, motherfucker.
Depends on the biography, damn it.
It depends on the story. Like when we had it, because I think we did have it with Brock and Triple H.
Yeah, we did. Mm-hmm.
Like that's something that makes sense. This, at least between Ambrose and Rollins, I see it as a possibility, but it doesn't hurt it if it's not there.
And this is the one concern I have with the network that I have had lately, and I told you guys about this, that the fact that I think it's bullshit that they covered up all the blood, especially the Stone Cold moment with the blood, the Crimson Mask.
Yeah, they make it gray.
They make it black and white, and because it's on the network, but I'm paying for the network. You know, you have a disclaimer before I watch the clip or before I watch the thing, and you still make it black and white. So now I have this fear that you're going to make my pay-per-views black and white as well. But then again, now I'm thinking about it. Now they're live, so I can't say that. I don't know.
They put them on delay.
Yeah, I know. They're on a slight delay.
7-second delay.
Yeah,
they're on a,
but they can't, you know. There's only so much you can do.
They done that. Is that what they do with blood scenes on the network?
Yeah, go back, watch the Stone Cold Monday Night War Stone Cold. Yeah, the moment he became Stone Cold, essentially, when he passed out from Bret Hart. Yeah, the whole Crimson Mask, they made it all black and white.
But is there two different versions, though?
No, not on Stone Cold. There's not two different versions. The DX there is, but not Stone Cold.
Oh, is that Monday Night Wars? I thought you meant the actual pay-per-view. I was going to say, I didn't think on No Way Out with Cactus Jack and Trips that there was that.
I haven't watched the actual pay-per-view yet.
Oh, thank God. As long as they don't start older than that.
Hang on. I'll check real quick while you guys are chatting.
I was going to say, now you got some homework, buddy.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to look it up right now. Go ahead, Heavy Set. Keep toss for improvement.
I'm going to go against what some people had said. I want to toss the outcome of the main event on Raw.
Oh, what do you want?
You want
what
Cena and Rollins?
Yes. I want Cena and Rollins and Orton and Ambrose.
You want Cena and Rollins because you don't want Rollins.
Are you like
Dean?
I just does not compute. Does not compute.
Yeah,
ever does not.
I'm having trouble.
No,
I am
delete.
Having trouble.
No, do not delete.
Sorry. Well, it's basically It's not that I don't want to see Rollins and Ambrose in a Hell in a Cell.
Okay.
It's also one of the hindrances of them having this pay-per-view, because I would much rather see Dean Ambrose and Randy Orton one-on-one in a match where Dean Ambrose comes on, goes over, and Rollins and Cena with Rollins going over. And then you have the accumulation between the two, because we've seen Cena and Orton just way too many times, and have it a main event on a pay-per-view again. I feel like the other way is fresher, but it's one of the hindrances of having a Hell in a Cell pay-per-view.
Okay. I'm going to refer to the panel's expertise in this. It was SummerSlam that Stone Cold and Bret met, right? SummerSlam 99?
WrestleMania 13.
No, wasn't WrestleMania 13.
Yes, the Crimson Mask was WrestleMania 13. Yes,
was it really?
I'm pretty sure.
Sorry, I apologize, Katie.
Not even that fact that it was Chicago.
No, Katie, it wasn't.
I apologize. Shut up.
Like, special guest referee Ken Shamrock.
Ken Shamrock, yeah, I know that, but I apologize, Katie. I thought it, I don't know why, I just thought it was for some reason.
And by 1990, you said SummerSlam 99?
Yeah, I don't
by,
know.
By the then, point. Bret Hart was already in WCW.
Okay, okay, all right, cool.
Taking steel pans to Goldberg's spear.
I'm checking right now. Go just ahead, so keep know, going,
that,
keep going.
That match, Heather. That match that you're looking up right now, is
they do not black.
Favorite uses of blood.
They do not black and white it. He's bleeding
all
over.
Yeah, I think
all
the pay-per-views are uncensored, yeah. Uncut.
He's bleeding all, no, they're not, that's not true.
There are
I know that for
that
sure. There are some things that are censored, which includes
the cat's tits,
yeah.
Or altered.
Yeah, anything. What
you would think about those?
Well, that's the I called into the week allwrestling.com week in review about it because I was irritated. It's bullshit. Thank you, Heavy.
The first thing he looked up when he got the network.
It was no, that's not the first thing I looked up. I was just watching a pay per view and I was like, "What the fuck is this? Why is this censored?"
Right.
Well, I'd rather see blood than boobs. Thank you.
You're right. I was just happened to watch the. Remember, DRG, I told you about this. I was cleaning my brother's apartment.
I know, and I'm giving shit about it. That's what we do on this
How
show.
How is that cleaning an apartment?
You got it on. You have the pay-per-view on in the background.
Well, he ended up having to clean it.
Remember,
because
I. Never mind. I don't even know why I'm talking to you guys about this shit.
We don't either.
That is not. It's not cut. It's not cut. Anyway, it's not. Just
oh,
in the.
So that was just the Monday Night Wars.
Just in the documentary.
Yeah. Oh, thank God for that. Yeah.
All right. What's your next one, Heavy?
Let me see. I want to keep. And this is. Oh, this is a bitter pill to swallow for me. I want to keep. No, no way, not Paige and AJ Lee. That's,
oh, I was gonna say
that's,
that.
That's still boring as hell.
It's still boring as hell.
Randy Orton right now.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why?
I like a lot of stuff from him right now, and I'm nowhere near a Randy Orton fan. I'm like one of his biggest
now
critics.
Is it just because of this Monday? Just because of the way he's no?
No, yeah, I've liked him. I think when he had the one back and forth between him, Jericho, and Christian. I was like at the pay-per-view and I was like, oh, that's pretty funny. And like this is the most life I think I've seen in Orton in a while.
All right. So the Orton that I really liked was the Legend Killer Orton. So would you prefer the Legend Killer Orton or do you prefer this Orton? And I know it's different eras, so it's not the same thing, but
I prefer non-boring Orton. There's times where Orton just doesn't care.
That's a good point.
And we see robotic Orton.
Laziness Orton.
And it really is the same promo.
Yeah.
Every time. Randy Orton.
Yeah, we got it, Wayne. Thank you.
Sorry, I just wanted to join in.
Katie, Randy Orton, all my ex-girlfriends love Randy Orton. What do you think?
Well, I don't, but... I like the 2009 Orton. Remember when he was kicking all the McMahons?
Yeah, the legend killer Orton. That's what I call
one.
Him. Yeah,
I thought he was at his best there.
Me too. DRG?
Katie Orton 09.
Katie Orton. DRG.
I just want to know if you're implying that Katie was one of your ex-girlfriends.
No, I wasn't, but she just did.
It sounded like what you
I
were
was like.
To get
I was like, wait a minute, and then she just kept talking. I was like, whatever, I don't care.
Give me something to think about.
Yeah, I was like, whatever, I don't care, DRG. I'll just let it go, DRG. I was like, oh. Okay,
yeah, I don't do that. I catch things. Remember, okay. I take notes.
Yeah, I know.
I like Randy Orton. I'm one of the few because I like the methodical pace that he uses, his psychology in the ring. You gotta remember, I don't watch for stories. So whenever I hear him cut a promo and it's lackluster, it doesn't affect me. It doesn't bother me. But since he's turned heel and gone back to this heel persona, his effectiveness in the ring has returned because seeing a face wrestler use that methodical style just does not work as well as seeing a heel that's picking apart pieces of a body.
Okay. All right. Heavy set, last word on that. It's yours. Or Wayne, did we ask you? No, we didn't ask you yet, Wayne. Wayne, Randy Orton?
I'm a massive Orton mark. He's like, you know, top three of my favorite wrestlers, so I don't really care what form he is. It's just as long as he's interesting, so I can see where Heavy's coming from. And just the last few weeks, he is stepping up. I don't know why. I don't know if it's because of the contract rumors or anything that he's now getting what he wants or whatever. No, but it's
probably because Triple H is like, dude, I need you to step up because I got.
But he's not even doing anything. He's not being put center line or anything. He's on the outside looking in still. But no, but he is just interesting.
Being a support that also comes with age. Being a support player. One of the best ways to bring the product up in general.
He quit smoking dope. That's what it was.
Probably what it was.
He was smoking pot, and he actually gives a shit now.
I wonder if he's getting all CM Punk's old money.
I wonder if he's getting paid. I wonder if he's getting laid.
That was good, Heavy.
Randy probably always gets laid. All right, Heavy, last word on this. Anything else you want to say about Randy?
Nope.
Okay. All right, my keep this week is definitely Dean Ambrose going against Seth Rollins in the Hell in a Cell. I couldn't ask for a better pay-per-view as far as, like, I want to see that match better than last pay-per-view, which I really didn't care that much about Brock versus Cena. Like, I knew Brock was going to win, but anyway.
You're wrong.
Yeah, John Cena won.
No, Brock won.
No, John Cena won.
No, Brock won via disqualification.
No,
Cena won.
Rollins
technically Cena won, but Brock won the title, kept the title.
There's a difference between winning a match and retaining the title.
All right, fine.
Learn your wrestling rule book.
I know.
Hashtag
burn. Oh my god.
Hey, speaking of that, is there an actual wrestling rule book? Because I have yet to find one.
DRG, I'm sure if there was one, you would have found one and memorized it by now.
Oh, you know I would have.
Yes,
and created sticky pages.
And then
you like your page. I like my wrestling.
I do love my page.
My improve this week was definitely the TNA crowd at the last show I watched. The last Impact I watched. That crowd sucked.
Yeah, they didn't deserve what they got.
That crowd was really shitty. The only time they got up and started doing something was when the fucking metal, what do they call that?
Full Metal Mayhem!
Thank you. The TLC match. the TLC match was going on. It's the only time they actually got up and actually started cheering for people. So, not a big fan of that crowd. That crowd kind of sucked. The New Jersey crowd, much better than that crowd. So
New
I will say that.
New York?
New York, sorry. New York crowd. Much better. New York, New Jersey. It's kind of the same thing.
The Japanese crowd was better than Bethlehem.
Yeah, I was I'm expecting the Japanese crowd to be better. I'm not buying that pay-per-view, though.
No, but the thing is Japanese are typical. They're known for sitting still and respecting the quality of match going on, so they're traditionally a lot more quiet.
But they were up in their
face. At Bound for Glory, that wasn't the case. They were pretty loud and chanting throughout the matches, they were active.
Yeah,
that little Jaffy bloke, the RG, that got up with Bully Ray and shook hands with him.
What the fuck did you just say, Wayne? What the fuck did you just say?
That was hilarious.
Did you just use the word Jaffy bloke?
No,
why don't you just call
Jackie
him
Chan.
The little slant
Jackie
eyes bloke?
Chan, you racist twat.
You want to just call him yellow skin bloke, Wayne? Little Jaffy bloke.
Racist.
What the fuck is wrong with you? The
right,
little Jaffy
bloke. Gran Turismo, okay?
What the fuck is wrong with you? All right, guys, moving on. What's on?
What's on? What's on?
Gotta get two in there because it's really low.
Ooh, I like that.
Did you? Yeah, let's try this again. I might cut the rest of them out. Let's try this again.
What's on?
Yes.
All right.
Very good, Vamp. I like that.
Hey,
you finally figured out how to do the white noise. I'm proud of you.
No, that was AA. Thank you, AA.
You had it explained to you. Literally, that was one of the first things I learned
I
in
knew,
Audacity.
I knew Heavy said I was going to freak out.
Seriously, my first WIR call had that in it. It's not hard to figure out.
I just didn't like it. I didn't like the white noise that was on that. Anyway, he sent it to me, and that was cool. It worked out.
Don't
it was good.
Debate, delegate. That's the first rule of management.
That's right. AA, send me all the sound effects that I asked for, and I appreciate you, buddy. So what's on? Katie, what are you watching? What are you listening to? What is on?
I watched a lot of the early SmackDown episodes just to get me ready for the 15th anniversary.
The early
episodes were better than the 15th anniversary show.
The 15th anniversary show is boring.
The only good thing was the Rock and Triple H segment I liked.
Yeah, that was it.
But it was nice to go down memory lane and enjoy the classic shows.
If you listen to the which one is it? I can't remember. The Jericho podcast. You listen to the Jericho podcast with Paul Heyman on it and Edge. Watch whatever years they talk about, best SmackDown years ever.
Oh yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm.
Even the beginning of SmackDown wasn't as good as those years were.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Nothing else?
I watched some Raw stuff too. That's pretty much it.
Okay. All right. DRG, what's on?
Well, besides what we're going to cover here soon, I watched the first half of Kings of Pro Wrestling from New Japan. And holy crap, if you get a chance, Time Splitters versus the Forever Hooligans versus the Young Bucks was crazy, crazy. I love watching tag teams in New Japan Pro Wrestling. It's awesome. But I haven't gotten to finish the show yet, but so far it's been really good.
Time Splitters versus New Hooligans, okay?
No, Forever Hooligans versus the Young Bucks.
All right. Heavy Set, what's on, man? What are you watching? What are you listening to? What's going on?
Watching nothing, listening to nothing.
You got to be listening to something while you're driving.
Nothing new.
Nothing new.
He listens to himself.
Yeah, he doesn't have 34 podcasts that he keeps up with.
Hey.
Well, I have enough, but also I listen to stuff on XM. I listen to music, and I listen to... I listen every week, but a little foreshadowing for later on, not the segment you're thinking of, mm-hmm. but... on Justin Labar's radio show this week, Wrestling Reality, it's on Trip Live Media. If you want I know they'd find their podcast where his show is. He actually has the guys from Tag Me a Date on there.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The creators?
Cool. Yes.
And you said that's what live?
Trip Live. Trip Live. TRIB Live.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Gotcha.
Or if you really want a direct link to it, he probably has it on his Twitter.
Right.
At Justin Labar.
At Justin Labar, guys. All right, cool. I tried to watch the new Monday Night Wars. They only let me jump in. It's the Cruiserweight this week. But they only let me jump in the middle of it. They won't let me start over because it was part of the on-demand. So it's part of the regular show. So I'm going to go back and watch it. And there's no new countdown. There's no new divas. There's no... It's right now that the network really let me down. So I actually caught up on a lot of other stuff that I'm watching. Caught up on Top Gear.
I want to watch that Cruisers.
I want to watch it too, because that's a lot of stuff I missed. I didn't watch WCW back in the day.
I did.
So
I did, and a lot of what they're talking about with Rey Mysterio, and then the big thing with Eddie Guerrero coming out and cutting that promo and pouring coffee on himself, telling Eric Bischoff that he's firing himself.
I did watch that. I have seen
watched that live, and I thought they were fucking with me, but it turned out to be real. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, I have seen that. I want to see all that stuff, but it really irritates me when I can't. I want to start a documentary from the fucking beginning, WB. So if you're going to play something and I have the option to start from the beginning, let me fucking start from the beginning. Like, don't keep putting me in the middle of the fucking documentary. It pisses me off. And then I'm catching up a lot of Top Gear. I have all of Doctor Who to go through. I know, Heavy. Don't talk to me about it.
You still didn't see any.
I'm not even that far myself.
I saved it all. I saved it all on my DVR. It's all on my DVR.
That's no fucking good on there. Watch it.
Well, thank you, Wayne. I appreciate that you know, that confidence behind me, asshole.
Hey, you'll get there one day, Vamp. We believe in you that you will persevere and watch a shitty show because you like it. I'm all for you. Go ahead, buddy.
Doctor Who is not a shitty show, buddy. You're going against three Doctor Who fans.
No, he has Doctor Who on there, not TNA.
Yeah, exactly.
Big difference.
TNA's gone now. TNA's gone now.
Actually, he watched TNA. He didn't watch Doctor Who.
I did. Well, I'd watch TNA because I know I'd hear it from you if I didn't. What was the other one? Oh, I gotta watch Blacklist. I gotta watch a bunch of stuff. Oh, Walking Dead. 17.9 million viewers this week on Walking Dead. I heard it was fan fucking fantastic. I still gotta watch that too.
Yep.
So moving on to what's that? Wayne, you want to take us right into the TNA Bound for Glory real quick?
I was gonna say we'll jump right from you to for the week. Yeah. Obviously 3 extra hours I spent watching Bound for Glory. So should we go straight into that?
Yep, we'll go from you then right to DRG because I haven't seen it. Heavy hasn't seen it, and Katie hasn't seen it.
So. No, I go with DRG because I prefer playing off people.
Okay,
so.
Go ahead, DRG. So if you want to start and give us a quick recap.
Well,
wait, ladies and gentlemen. This is not your TNA podcast, okay?
I'm sorry. I've still got to do that.
I know you still have to do it. You should feel fucking bad. I hear it in your voice. You should feel bad.
I do. I have not had time.
I want you to understand, not your TNA podcast, so make it quick.
I know. Okay. That's why I was going to say, well, we had Bound for Glory this week. A lot of matches happened. It was at Cork and Hall in Japan, and back to you, Wayne.
Well,
no, he wanted me to make it quick. We had Bound for Glory this weekend. It was at Cork and Hall in Japan. That's quick.
Yep. Stop being pedantic. Ignore the devil.
Okay. All right. One thing that I have to say is the show had a unique feel. I heard a lot of people on Twitter complaining about production values, but I'm not sure what people expected out of Cork and Hall. I don't know. I don't think everybody actually knew what the history behind it was. It was started as a boxing, where they held boxing matches in the 60s for one of the Olympics that was held over there. So I don't think everybody realized that it was a small venue. It's not something that was meant to be extravagantly large like a Tokyo Dome show. But they legit sold it out. People reported 1,500. It max capacity is like 2,050 or something. So somewhere in there, they had everybody in the building. It was a good show. It had excellent wrestling matches. My 4 for 4 that I predicted to watch for was Manic versus Tanaka. It delivered. I predicted that MVP versus Sakamoto would be a great match, and it delivered. I predicted that the three-way match with Joe versus Key versus Kaz Hayashi from WCW days would be an excellent match, and it delivered. And the main event had excellent parts to it. The spectacle of Great Muta is awesome, but that double miss spot was just amazing. So basically, if you watched it for the wrestling, I'm pretty sure that you'd be happy with what you saw. If you watched it expecting groundbreaking advancements in storylines, it wasn't going to happen. But it was very entertaining from that standpoint. The match quality, they allowed people like Manic versus Tanaka to have a story that was told by Professor Mike Tenay in the match. They had MVP cutting a great promo that was true to himself in that he believes in the art of pro wrestling. They had a lot of things on that show that if you are a person that respects and pays attention to wrestling for the wrestling matches, you would like this show. And I did. I thought it came across really well. Wayne, what was the number one highlight of the show for you?
I wouldn't say there was any highlights for me, but there wasn't any lowlights either. And for me, I quite like that in wrestling where there ain't no fucking... there's no point in one high spot if the rest of the show is all fucking low. That was generally just... I wouldn't say I marked out for anything, but then I didn't get bored. There was just a good rhythm. You had a nice little earlier tonight or last night segment with before each match where you had an interview, then the match, then another interview, then match. It was just a nice rhythm. Concerning the venue, it weren't what I expected, but I got over it within about 3 minutes of the first match, and that suited the show. I quite liked the venue and how the acoustics sounded on the screen and everything. I just really liked it. Like I said, there weren't nothing that stood out, but there was like a good flow. Weren't an excess of hardcore spots. They'd done that all in the Team 3D match, just one match, so that was good fun. I just really liked the whole sort of event, really.
I thought overall it just had a great, unique feel to it. I think my personal favorite of the night was Joe versus Key versus Kaz Hayashi because it was kind of a throwback to what the X Division used to be, where it was hectic pace, big spots, transitions, a lot of different chain wrestling. Seeing Kaz Hayashi lock in a crossface on Joe in low key at the same time while Joe has a STF on Key was very cool wrestling to see. And I really, really loved how it wasn't typical to what you expected coming out there because MVP's history in Japan, when he walked out into that arena, he was a babyface. And it's like they expected
that. That's a good point. In all of the matches bar Team 3D, who the crowd cheered for weren't what they are perceived over here. It was obviously because they're Japanese, what they were over there, and the fact that if it worked over there, they got cheered. And MVP's promo was probably the highlight for me of the night. The pre-recorded interview where he goes on about sports entertainment and how he sort of give that up to become an actual wrestler, and I thought that was awesome.
Fucking yeah. MVP.
What?
Okay.
I you know me. I don't like MVP. I've told you that from day one.
I wasn't asking you to like him. I was just saying, I really liked his promo. Okay. I really thought that was good. And then what exactly like DRG said from Sorry, his reaction to the crowd from the crowd that choked me agreeing with DRG. just the way the crowd cheered him and he was acknowledging the crowd and everything was just the way they were going nuts for him. In fact, going MVP at that was just I was really thrilled by it. But well, I suppose
I want to touch on one thing that I think that they should have done. That Wrestle One match that had El Hijo del Pantera and Andy Wu versus Kodmata and Ikemen Jiro, who was the guy who wore the jacket and kind of looked like
that's the only thing I could take in.
Yeah, he was like Heath Slater meets Drew Brees, and him posing with his hair was hilarious. That match, I really wish that they would have moved forward to say where the MVP slot was. MVP versus Sakamoto went third. If they would have moved MVP to say right after the hardcore match and before the main event, I think it would have came off a little bit better, or even move MVP down and move the three-way for the X title to the second main event. It would have been excellent. But if those are, if that's the gripes that I'm coming away with this show, then I think that they did well. I gave it a rating of probably about a 6.25 to 6.5, and that was 10? Because the wrestling quality was worth it, but there was not enough story in the show.
Out of 10,
that's
right?
Probably, that's exactly where I sit. There was no high points, but there weren't no low points either. It was just a good tune-off for 2 to 3 hours. So.
Okay. All right, I'll take that. Audio biography is going to be Heavy Set this week. Heavy Set, tell us about yourself, buddy.
2 minutes. 2 minutes.
Actually, that was you.
2 minutes. Wrap it up.
Hey, shut up, both of you.
He hates TNA, Wayne.
I do not hate TNA.
At least we got to speak about it for a little bit.
Yeah, one thing is, okay, I walked away. I didn't want to hear any spoilers.
So, Heavy, your audio biography. Let's go.
Wrap it up, devil.
You guys are a bunch of dicks.
What do you want to know? That's ask me questions.
What got you into pro wrestling?
Basically the story. Did I tell you the story?
I don't think so.
No. DRG in particular.
You told me, but I want you to tell.
No. I'm just making sure because basically for me, wrestling has always been around in my life. Growing up, it was. I mean, a lot of people were growing up with dads. It's either they're all about football, baseball, there's some sort of sport, but for me, it was professional wrestling. It's been there since, like I said, since day one. I remember coming home from church, yes, fam, church, and I used to watch a show called WWF All-American, and that helped, like, as I was eating my lunch, soaked into the product. I remember liking Razor Ramon when he was technically a heel and a legit bad guy and all that stuff, and Crush, definitely one of my first favorites, and then it just, like I said, ever since then, that was like 1992, 1993.
Was that Kona Crush with Demolition or Crush after Demolition?
Crush after Demolition. Technically, it wasn't Crush after Demolition, Kona Crush?
Yes, it was, but I was giving a dated reference. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Tell us about your name, have you said?
Okay, my name does have a different story, and I haven't really got to tell that one here.
You're fat.
I'm a person of many different nicknames. My actually nickname among my friends is Fat Ass, and that is legit. But at one point, and you can look this up. Me and my friends kind of did music. I didn't do it as much, but I was trying to find the right name, and actually the name that I used to use because I thought it fit me and who I was WrestleManiac. But one day, one of my friends, it was the first day of, I started working at this certain job where I got to work with my best friends all the time. And my one friend walked up to me, he's like, dude, I got the perfect rap name for you. And I'm like, what? He goes, Heavy Set. I'm like, I like it. And then from there on, it ended up sticking. And then when like social media and everything started to pop up, it was trying to find the right certain nickname to use, or because I couldn't put Fat Ass on a lot of stuff, or URLs titles, and Heavy Set 330 was something that stuck. What was one of the first ones? I know if you go to myspace.com/heavyset330, that is my music page, which only has like a couple songs. Facebook, that's when I used it. My Xbox gamer tag is when I use it. And then from there on out, I started using it for everything. And when I started being a part of the allwrestling.com week in review, because that was my Twitter handle, that's the name that I stuck with.
All right.
So is the fact that we're not friends the reason why we can't call you Fat Ass?
We're acquaintances.
It's more because after the fact of when I started going by Heavy Set more and more, But fat ass, I mean, that's like among my really, really close friends.
So are you saying that we are indeed friends?
Maybe. Everybody except Alpi.
This is a beautiful moment, by the way.
Who is the all-time greatest wrestler and why?
For me, it's always been a tie. I will never differentiate between Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart. I love them both.
Is it because of their feud that you love them all separately?
The feud and separately, because Bret was obviously the time frame that I mentioned when I started watching wrestling. You know, obviously one of the big faces and whatnot. I always thought the Bret Hart glasses, the shades were fucking amazing. Like, it was like one piece of merch that I always wanted and I ended up giving a couple years ago when I met Bret. But there was that, and then the up-and-coming of Shawn Michaels as a good guy, and I love that, and the everything that he had with just that him being a face. I got so wrapped up in, and then WrestleMania 12 was legitimately on my 10th birthday, and Shawn Michaels,
Get this, all right. This motherfucker.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to be like this. I don't really want to hurt no feelings.
Hold on, pause it real quick.
I'm only being real when I say nobody wants.
No. I got to explain something. This is true. I'll let you play the whole song. I don't give a damn.
That is the intro and outro for the entire year.
No, I'll give you background on this particular song. That's the last song I ever end up making. But I had, and this is kind of a drama-ridden story, it was an ex-girlfriend now. But at the time, me and her were just starting to talk and whatever, and she kind of had a clingy ex-boyfriend.
Wayne.
And he considered himself a rapper. And he was a guy that like would make terrible audio tracks, like have an instrumental background, rap over it, but not do it on beat.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to be this white ass fucking thug, and he ran his mouth. And then when I kind of swooped, actually, I like John Cena's music. I'll get that. I can get that later. But he couldn't. He was just terrible at it. Well, when I started dating her, he decided he was going to make a diss song to me. So I was like, it was terrible.
Yo, what up, homie?
Is that popular among the Juggalo community?
Want to hear the JBZ crap?
Hold on. His name was JBZ, and now you're listening. Like, you'll listen to the whole song. I make some wrestling references. Let's see if you catch them. And it's just me basically saying, like, dude, you're nothing, and I just tear him apart.
Can we listen to it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Responsible.
I just had to give you a background.
So put the mic down and walk away. No one wants to hear the shit you say. Oh, just as we start the song, you guys got to start talking. Shut up! Shut your mother! You did what to my sister? I don't even have a sister! Yeah! You go get Pollock. You shot him last time! Don't make me. Just like, get the beat going. All right. Motherfucker, want to sit here and say he's gonna diss me? You know, bad job at dissing me and Trey. Now he said months ago, 8 months ago, he was gonna murk me and my relationship. Oh, this is how we as MCs do it. Random out. This is my fight music. The name's Heavy Set. Not heavyweight, and I'm lyrically far under any great MC to ever once touch a mic. But I guess this bitch just wants to fight.
Bring it on.
And I'm just here to close the casket on your career. I don't even know you, bastard. You no threat, and I got no guns.
No,
bitches like you make hip hop no fun. You put your fist up, cause I sent your bitch.
This should be your music to the All We Can Review.
Keep playing it.
Too bad shit's tough, oh yo, guess what? You know Thug Five from the Tupac stature, the worst rapper, you could hear my laughter. When I heard push out the diss track, your shit's whack, so why don't you sit back? It's a Big Mac, bitch, lyric heart attack. When you gonna face it, you ain't the hardest act. My whole crew has heard your corny raps, and yes, it's a fact, you don't know me, Jack. Your rhymes are boring, they had me snoring. What am I doing? I should start ignoring. Call you dirt, cause you're off my shoulder. Slipping you ether and you're far from over. Making threats, you just lit a nova. After this track, start crossing over. You're off me often, don't know what you're lost in. Let me be the one to close your coffin. If you want stitches, then bring.
All right, what else you got to say about that?
No, keep going. I want to get my wrestling reference in there. One of my good ones.
Not to close the casket?
No. I got a John Cena reference in there.
How far is it in, Heavy? It's a really long raps.
That's a good track, though. I like it.
Keep going. Keep going.
All right. Shut up. The scars, the things I don't break. Oh, shit. Even when I hit play, you're talking.
2 minutes. My word and my fall. Words I spit a bit ludicrous. Cause you's a bitch and you nude. This is like a season. Better pop my collar more. Talks cheap, your botches at the dollar store. If you're so gangster, put the mic down. You should be out killing motherfuckers right now. You was in the van, I said bring them out. But it's hard to yell with my dick's in your mouth. Cause in a comment I said you sucked. I just being honest, I never met one fan that you have. It's too bad, you're getting booted. Up at the courier, we're weight 10. It's sad to say, you're worse than K-Fed. I feel like Cena, giving you the F. You know who's meaner? My little nephew. And I don't need Hennessy or even any weed to give me energy. You're just a minor enemy, you wanna claim to be a G. More like a dee-dee-dee. Watch your mouth or you get fucked up like a car wreck by the Barnett. You're fucking far-fetched. 120-pound toothpick. Like my bowel movement, you're just not ruthless. Far as talent, I'm not seeing any. Couldn't even hang with me lyrically. Shit, not even literally. Making tracks with only Billy and me. You false like a toothpick, you crush like a cookie. Your puppy paw prints, tattoos fucking look gay. But you at Macho with some hot flow. Your name's JB, but you know Nacho Libre. You call yourself JBZ, your flow's easy. You must be crazy to try to go toe to toe or even flow for flow. You're just getting high like you blow the drone. But back to your initials, you know Jack Black. You fucking act black while being laughed at. I have more skill in a cat nap.
I have more skill than a cat nap.
You fucking act black.
You're the guy.
Yep, call me Fat Rat. Everybody who knows you says you're a bitch. You're barely a rapper, I'm a lyricist. Just another target to a trained soldier. Sorry, Jack. Game over. Yeah, Jake Beasy, next time you get on your computer and make a track, why don't you step into a real fucking booth and do something? I ain't making no more. I don't make threats. I don't do any of that fucking shit. Next time you want to do something, step in the booth and learn one thing. I do not fuck around. You're going to get schooled on it, Jack.
JBZ.
Yeah.
Oh, you cut off the last 2 seconds where my friend jumps in there and he goes, oh yeah, this is Bill and you're fucking gay.
Dude, we're good. Kiwi, we love you. It was a long time ago, Kiwi, wasn't it, Heavy?
What?
It's a long time ago, wasn't it, Heavy?
Okay.
No, it was like last year. No, that was
Heavy. We know that you are into independent wrestling. That you are one of the people on the panel that is very passionate about it.
Yes.
Being that you've been through independent wrestling, you have seen a lot of, we'll say, good and bad stuff. What is hands down the worst thing that you have ever watched as a wrestling fan? It could be on any promotion, including TNA, because they did have Orlando Jordan. So what is the worst thing that you have seen?
When TNA brought back the six-sided ring. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, I love you right now.
The very, very worst thing. There was a short-lived promotion that you could probably find some stuff on. It was called Midwest Wrestling. They used to do shows about 45 minutes from me. The promoter was a good dude. He would bring in some pretty cool talent, guys that I had heard of and liked. But he brought in this one dude, and he was from, I think, originally from Florida. And his gimmick was kind of Eugene turned up.
He didn't go full retard.
not full, but it was just, to me, full up to where I'm like, oh my, like, dressed up funny and whatnot. And, like, I compared it to another wrestler. I don't remember the dude's name, but there was a dude, and I know you can look him up. He used to wrestle at Prime Wrestling and PWO. His name was Brian Castle. And his whole thing was a very kid-friendly character who he always asked people for high fives, and that was his kind of thing. He had a bandana that he always wore, and if you touched his bandana, like he would go crazy. kind of like a Festus type thing.
But
like I said, like, it was a very much a kid friendly thing.
Yeah.
But this guy made that look like a brilliant idea, because it was just so terrible. And when, really, when you said like the worst thing I've ever seen, that's the first thing that comes to mind.
Go ahead, Katie.
My two questions for you were, what's your favorite match that you've seen live, and what's your favorite wrestling t-shirt that you own?
Okay, my favorite match that I have seen live, damn it, because one of the first one of the matches that comes to my mind I did not see live. It was on DVD, but I love it. Favorite match I've seen live, yes, it was actually, it's an independent wrestling match, was a guy by the name of Chuck Taylor and a guy by the name of Marion Fontaine. It was the second AIW show I've ever been to. I'm trying to convince AIW to put it online, even if I have to pay them a little money to do it. But it is very much a comedy style of just back and forth. And live shows, like especially indie wrestling, you get the right two people together who have that comedy style. Even one of them can just put on a fantastic show. And they did reversals for a hip toss. And it was in like, it's like one of those things sometimes they do where they'll call it the spot. And he's like, one guy was like, hip toss. The other guy reversed it. He was like, no, hip toss. Then it just went this back and forth chain of like, no, hip toss. No, hip toss.
That's funny.
No, hip toss. And they kept doing it to a point where it's like, no, hip toss. No, hip toss.
I love the Kentucky gentleman.
Oh, and actually, I'll put it in a second place, because if you know anything about these two, they are fucking hilarious. Colt Cabana versus Tracy Smothers.
That would be epic.
Some of the stuff that they did, like, I remember, like, they did, like, stuff like when the referee's back was turned, like, kind of, like, threaten each other with weapons and all this stuff, and ref would, like, see, and he's like, what are you doing? It's like, no, I remember, like, Colt Cabana threw it behind his back. That was, like, last winner at AIW, and I got to get that DVD, because that was another funny ass match.
Second one, Katie, go ahead.
Favorite shirt. It is only because I got it so cheap, and I've never seen anybody else with it. Ooh, I got a second one too. But my John Laurinaitis Future Endeavor shirt.
Uh-huh.
That is one I've never seen anybody else with. It's just so odd. And the second one is, and I have a story behind this one too, is Drew McIntyre's shirt. I wore it to an AIW show, and Colt Cabana was there. I was looking at stuff at his merch table, and he goes, what shirt's that? And I look at him weird, thinking, like, this is Colt Cabana. He goes to shows all the time. I'm like, it's a Drew McIntyre shirt. He goes, I have never seen anybody wear a Drew McIntyre shirt.
If you think that's good, I've got one to show you at home.
Was that a joke?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, like, a joke.
Going back to just how uber rare that the Future Endeavored shirt was.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's the reason why it's rare.
Not and nobody funny, dear. Wears it. Wow.
I got it on sale. That's why I bought it. It was like $7.
All right. Last question. What is a wrestling, I don't say match, but maybe a pay-per-view that you watch when you're like maybe feeling down, or you're just not, you just don't want to watch anything that takes any brain power. Like your, I would call it like a wubby. Like your go-to.
The fuck is a wubby?
It's like a comfort blanket. Like when kids, sometimes kids have.
You mean a blankie?
No. A blankie. Yeah, that's fine. I call it a wubby. I don't know why. I don't know. That's what my family says.
Do you have your wubby with you?
Yeah, like if you were, no, I don't have my, I don't have a what?
When you deleted the show, did your girl cry into your wubby?
No, motherfucker, I did not. I went to sleep like I told you I did.
Hey, look, put me on blast for a joke, motherfucker. Look, do it again. I dare you.
Look, motherfucker.
Wubby.
Look, you guys can make fun of me all want, but that's what we called it when I was growing up, a wubby. Like, what's your, like, go-to favorite thing that you, like, when you're having a shitty day, heavy set, what DVD or match or wrestling thing that do you watch? It even could be a whole documentary, you know.
I wish I had my DVDs in front of me, because I could pick out which certain ones that I've done it for. I don't know if I'm going to go with matches. For independent wrestling is Johnny Gargano versus Matt Cross versus Josh Prohibition. Those are three guys based out of Cleveland. Josh Prohibition and Matt Cross grew up together, trained together, wrestled together, and then Josh helped train Johnny. And like, it's just a great match between the three. Like, one of the guys that trained all three of them died about a week or so before the match. His name was JT Lightning. So it was kind of like an
It's kind of like a tribute for the rest of them.
Yeah. It was like a tribute for them, but it's like they made that match way ahead of time. But it was just kind of like how it worked out to where they got to his three prize pupils got to go in the ring and do a fantastic match. Fontaine, Chuck Taylor, another one. If I want to throw it back in a DVD, and it's the only odd pay per view that I own, and that is Unforgiven 2008. Because I was there.
Okay. All right. I still don't own the WrestleMania that I went to, the 28. I feel you.
I think when Unforgiven came out on DVD, I went out and bought it. And then you could actually briefly see me on camera. Shawn Michaels, Chris Jericho match, unsanctioned match. They end up going into the crowd. They end up going like 5 to 10 feet in front of me. Oh, and you can briefly see me. I'm just like trying to take pictures like crazy.
Sweet. All right, cool, man. We'll hear more from Heavy Set later in the coming weeks. I'd say, speaking of being in person, I am actually going to a show. I'm going to a WWE live event, the house show. I'm going to a house show on December 6th in Augusta. So I will be there. So I'll let you guys know what they're practicing, what they're trying out. I know everyone was talking about they were doing the Black Fashion Faction. I call it the Nation of Domination 2.0 and the house shows, but we have yet to see it. You have to see a lot of stuff they're doing at the house shows.
They're the Super Friends team.
Yeah, no, the super.
They're the smart, athletic, warrior friends team.
I'm not buying that at all.
Or
soft. I'm not buying that at all in the least bit. So our next segment is Wayne's Water Cooler. And now it's time for
Wayne's Water Cooler.
All right. Ready, Wayne?
Equipped with more wubbies.
More wubbies. You guys can make fun of me all I want. That's what we call
Wayne,
my family.
Wayne's
so.
Wubby Cooler.
Wayne's
with
water
Wubby Water
cooler.
Cooler.
Go ahead, Wayne.
I'm still in awe of Heavy's rap, to be honest.
Yeah.
Are you saying it's good or bad or just the fact that
I'm going to say it wasn't painful to listen to.
It wasn't.
I actually quite enjoyed
it.
Yeah,
it wasn't bad.
It was Wubbylicious.
You had a couple of good disses in there. I was surprised.
Yeah, I was laughing. I don't know. I was laughing. Go ahead,
Wayne. I actually quite enjoyed it. I think you're wasted in your truck or lorry, whatever you call it.
Lorry.
Thanks, Kiwi.
Oh, that brings him back.
We got Wubbies and Lorries on this podcast. Gear. Thanks, Wayne.
Brings him back to
Leave
Top
to the
Gear
fucking
again.
Tag team.
Go ahead, Wayne.
Wubbies. Right. Where should we go first? Let's go with the word is Dean Ambrose versus John Cena match was originally announced for Hell in a Cell, but took place last night on Raw. Was never going to happen at the pay-per-view. Everything they've done was apparently planned. As the story they're telling, this is the direction they're always going in.
I just yawned because, no shit. You don't believe it, DRG? I believe it.
No, I don't believe that their plan all along was to never have this happen. I think it was a decision that they made because they weren't getting what they thought they were going to get out of it. So they decided to go a different route. I think that they did plan to have John Cena versus Ambrose, but they're like, oh shit, what do we do with Orton? Well, crap.
I'm going with what Katie said last week, is that the loser was always going to go against Orton and they were not going to double pay them for a pay-per-view. So I think that it was what they were planning all along. Heavy Set?
Yeah, I think it's what they were planning all along too. That's what makes the most sense. It's like, you're not going to double book these guys on the pay-per-view. Not even not double pay them, but just have them knowingly be in two matches.
Two big matches?
Yeah.
Mm. Katie?
So I think they just made it look that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was always planned, I think, as well.
Okay. All right, Wayne, next one.
It was noted by PW Insider recently that Noelle Foley, Mick Foley's daughter, who has quite the following on Twitter,
who
is now trying to become a wrestler.
WFT. What?
What?
Sorry, is now trying to become a wrestler?
Yep.
That's not surprising. Anybody surprised about that at all?
Not surprised.
No.
Would be interested to see it.
No, she's really, really funny on Twitter. So, yeah. No. Yep. And she's smoking hot.
I'm not surprised she wants to be a wrestler. I don't think she'll do what her dad did, but...
Fall off a fucking...
Lose an kid. Ear. Have
fall
a
off a fucking hell in the cell and light himself on fire and fucking fall on bombs and shit.
Did you guys see the video of her interviewing Roman Reigns from Ringside Fest?
No.
It's like on YouTube and stuff. I actually thought if she was going to go in the business, she would do like what Renee does.
Oh, being doing an interview. She's that good?
Yeah, she's pretty good, but she wants to be a wrestler. You know, good for her. I hope she's pretty good at it.
Okay. All right. Wayne, next one.
Let's go with the words going around at SmackDown will debut on Thursday night, January 15th, 2015.
I heard that rumor. I thought it was interesting if they're actually going to pursue going to Thursday nights.
I mean, this... And what was that date again?
Yeah.
Thursday, January 15th.
Guess what's not on that Thursday? NFL football, because that should be the beginning of playoffs. And they don't have to worry about battling them anymore. So, yeah, they're basically saying, NFL, you do what you do. We'll come back to Thursdays on this day when
you're
done.
That makes sense. That makes sense. It does make sense.
What happens in September whenever they've established the brand being on Thursdays? Because, I mean, you can delay it and you can miss out on this season, but next season's going to come. The NFL's not going to stop.
I think what they're going to do is gauge ratings and whatnot, and if I think it's the same, then they might move it back. But that's also when it comes back, that's the beginning of the TV season, so they can gauge, like, okay, should we move it back to Fridays where it was?
Friday's or just not getting it done, man.
Thursday's really – I don't think Thursday's going to do you much better. Thursday's one of the most busiest nights of television.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Wayne.
Football, that was always TNA's excuse.
Yeah, football is just one of the things that lasts from September to – But here, there are a lot of shows. There's times that I had to reschedule or cancel Impact because I had all these other shows, and maybe not just me, between me and my girlfriend, of we want to watch this show. I know she watches like Scandal, and because I think Scandal was on Thursday. No, Grey's Anatomy and all that shit. And it's a lot of shit on Thursday night. NBC was always known for it, too.
Go ahead, Wayne. Next one.
Let's go with... Apparently, this is actually like a full article, so I'll just read the headline. Daniel Bryan may need another surgery after all. WWE comeback possibly delayed past Royal Rumble 2015.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, that was reported the day before yesterday.
What's that from?
Hmm?
What is that from?
Cage Side Seats.
DRG, how good are they?
It's legitimate enough to where I got a notification on my Bleacher Report app.
That's not good. Oh, that's not good.
Which would you rather have, a man crippled or a man returning for Royal Rumble? I don't want take him, as much time as you need to get healthy.
Especially if he's on the longer end of it, that just puts him at Royal Rumble 2016.
Let me explain this to you. I do not want him crippled by any means whatsoever. Okay.
They're saying also in the article, WrestleMania is 50-50 if that goes through.
So if he has the neck surgery again or whatever surgery it is, the back surgery or whatever. I would understand that. Yeah. I mean, WrestleMania is only like a month and a half away from there. So yeah, I would get that. Wow. That's not good.
Yeah, it's real shitty. Real shitty if it turns out to be true. But I mean, it's one of those things. You want him to persevere and push through it and turn out to where he can't walk like Tom Billingsley or Dynamite Kid? Or do you want him to follow suit? Because we've already seen people like Edge that push through and push through, and they had to retire early, way too early. I don't want to see that same thing for him.
Yeah, Edge had to retire way too early. I fucking cried when he retired because it was just so shocking.
Did you grab your wubby?
You done?
I love you, man.
I have just seen the funniest thing online.
We may get if you would like to be a new co-host on the DSJNP.com podcast, I may have a new spot open. It's DSJNP.com@gmail.com if you'd like to be a new co-host. Go ahead, Wayne.
I've just seen the funniest thing online. It's just obviously I ain't got a chance to watch the video, but it's Shamian Mizdow steals the show on main event.
I'm good. I don't need Damien. To watch that.
It is Sandow dressed as Sheamus with a little toy US title, and it looks like an amazing. He's dyed his beard ginger and everything. He's got big ginger bushy eyebrows.
Ginger means redhead in Europe.
He dyed it ginger.
And that's very racist.
Seen South Park? It means redhead in US too.
I'm just saying.
It's like a ginger, somebody that has no soul.
Hey, motherfucker, I was just covering people's asses, okay? Anyway,
soul's religion, remember?
Yes, DRG. I remember. Remember? What the fuck is wrong with you tonight? Remember? You remember? Yes, I remember.
Remember?
Remember? You remember?
You remember?
Go ahead, Wayne.
Dude, I'm from Texas. There's a lot of Mexicans around here.
You remember?
We abbreviate.
You remember?
Remember?
Go ahead, Wayne.
I can't brief. I can't brief.
I can't brief. I can't brief. Yeah, remember? Remember?
All right, Wayne, what do
Wayne,
you got?
Wayne, go ahead before we'll just continue doing this if you don't start.
Stop us, please.
Please stop us.
I don't think there is a great deal more. I think that's pretty much
it
now.
Oh, my God.
What about Justin Roberts?
Did you not catch Justin Roberts not being renewed for his contract?
And in the office. I did see something about Justin Roberts. So I just don't get excited by the bloke.
No, the shouting match between him and Michael Cole.
I didn't hear about that.
Give him the finger.
Oh, hold on. I'll find it online somewhere and read it off.
Well, while we get ready for DRG's water cooler, that was... And now it's time for...
Wayne's water cooler.
That freaks me out.
Epic fail, Wayne. Epic
it
fail.
It sounds like he's in the toilet.
Good. It should. Because he is.
That's awesome.
Epic fail, Wayne. Epic fail is all I'm saying.
Justin Roberts was deed informed by... Oh, you motherfucking stupid phone.
Pop-up. Pop-up. That was a pop-up right there, buddy.
Justin Roberts was indeed informed by WWE of his WWE departure last night at Raw in Atlanta. He was informed by his superior, Kevin Dunn. There is a feeling now that Lillian Garcia will start doing Raw in Eden to do the ring announcing. Speaking of Roberts, there was talk among fans on Raw and on social media last night that Roberts was seen yelling at Michael Cole during the Dolph Ziggler and Randy Orton match. A fan noted that Roberts also flipped off Cole. As noted, WWE chose not to renew Roberts' contract, and that's why he was let go. According to Lords of Pain, and their source on this is not stated.
If he flipped off Michael Cole during a match, which not that big of a deal. You know, you have spats with commentary, but you never do it you have spats with coworkers, but you never do it on the floor in front of other people. I get that.
Right.
But if he's getting to the point where he's flipping them off in front of people, then that means he's a bit of a hothead and it's been going on for a while, right? I mean, am I wrong?
That's a possibility. The thing is, the sources from PW Insider, they usually get their stuff from Wrestling Observer, and Wrestling Observer is hit and miss as well. But I don't know. If fans are stating this, I'd like to see an actual picture. Hopefully somebody caught one. But that was the talk of what was going on, and most of the stuff that I've been discussing is Roberts, because I know a lot of people actually like Justin Roberts. They thought he was going to be the next, was it Howard Finkel? He kind of fit that role very well.
It was said that he and Cole never really got along, too.
Oh, Cole has a lot of power right now.
Yeah, Cole sucks.
Have they said anything about Justin Roberts being let go?
I think it's sad. He's actually been one of my favorites since we were friends on MySpace, so that's go back a long time.
Oh, he was on Jerry Springer.
Yeah, I can't remember who it was on Twitter that said, you know, two of my good friends have been let go from the WWE lately. It was Justin Roberts and who was the other one? I can't remember. I want to say it was Matt Stryker that said it, but that's not right. But either way, where do you see Roberts next? I mean, because he can go to TNA, but what's that really going to do for him? Does he go to GFW?
No, he can go to anywhere. He doesn't have to go to TNA. He could just go anywhere is all I'm saying. You know, I mean, whatever.
Write a book, Tales of a Ring Announcer.
As far as I can tell, there's no pictures online of him flipping flipping Michael Cole off.
Yeah, all there is just been like that article.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And like I said, the dirt sheets are so credible that we know this 100% happened for a fact. All right, Wayne, what do you got?
One, just not really sort of groundbreaking news, as it's obvious, but the reason Paul Heyman's not on television at the moment is to not draw attention to the fact Brock Lesnar's not there, and he's not expected back until 2015.
That is bull. That actually may be valid. Now I'm thinking about it. Like, it's almost 2015 now. So
yeah, we're in mid-October.
Yeah.
So that's basically, well, you know, he's not at this pay-per-view, and then it'll be another two pay-per-views.
What's the next one?
Survivor Series, and then that'll be TLC.
Do we see Lesnar back at Survivor Series?
Because that's technically one of the big four, right?
Not really. Not that I can see. Because if they do an actual Survivor Series, that means it'll be teams versus teams. So they don't need the, like...
We have been clamoring for that for how many years? And when was the last one that they actually did?
It's been a long time.
I have a question.
Hang on, Katie. I read something that they were going to do teams again this year. I just don't know what I read. What the fuck is that? Fuck that noise. What the fuck?
Battle rap heavy. Battle rap heavy. Battle rap
bullshit
heavy.
Ad. Go ahead, Katie. Go ahead.
If Celestia's not going to be around till January, could they possibly put Paul Heyman with somebody new?
No. Not until Brock goes away for a while. January is not even that long. I mean, think about it. It's not that long ago. It's only two pay-per-views. That's not that long. Especially when the pay-per-views don't mean shit.
Like a whole year ago.
Well, the pay-per-views don't mean shit, so...
That'd be a quarter of a year that you wouldn't have a WWE champion, if that rings true.
Two pay-per-views?
No, three. You remember, Hell in a Cell's not there. 3 months is a quarter of a year.
You've got October, you've got November, and you've got December's pay-per-views. That's three pay-per-views in a row.
3 months, you ain't got your champion there. That's a quarter of a year. You wouldn't think... But if that's someone not the had question. Said, like, a year ago, you would go, quarter of a year without a WWE champion, you'd tell them to bugger off.
That's
but
not,
now it seems like it's highly possible.
That's not what she asked, Wayne. Go ahead, Katie, ask again.
If Lesnar's going to be gone till January, do we see Paul Heyman with someone else?
No, because if they're going to go down that road, they'd have done it already.
That's
not halfway through the time.
That's what I just fucking said. Thank you.
It was weird that there was no mention of Raw.
You can me all you want. That's what I just fucking said. If you paid attention to what the fuck I say, bitch.
But Lesnar and Heyman are tied together. Katie, in all honesty, I don't think that they're going to put Heyman. Could they do it? Yes, they absolutely could. There's like five people right now that would be perfect.
No, that's
but
why Cesaro's.
I don't think that they're going to do that.
That's why Cesaro's on a cooler. They're going to wait until after WrestleMania. As soon as WrestleMania is done, Heyman and Cesaro will be back together again.
Ooh,
really?
Cool prediction.
Yeah, I'm saying really. I'm saying it right now. That's why Cesaro and Heyman had such an amicable. Because Paul Heyman's supposed to lose to whoever, Roman Reigns or Daniel Bryan. Now we don't know because Daniel Bryan's possibly hurt more than we thought.
Is somebody advocating for a Paul Heyman girl?
I've been talking about a Paul Heyman girl for a while. I thought he needed to pick up.
Charlotte. Do? They should have Paige join Paul Heyman, and then she could take on. Get this, AJ. Oh, mind blown.
Oh my god. Yeah, I thought Paul Heyman should have picked up Charlotte at NXT Arrival.
I think Charlotte should debut with her dad. That's going to be the best way for her to debut because
they're waiting.
So much heritage.
I'm over Ric Flair. I'm sorry. I'm over it. I'm over it.
I understand. I've been over it since 2009 when he was in TNA. So I get what you're saying.
I'm so disappointed in him in every shape, way. And now I know why. Like, I feel bad. Sometimes I see her with Ric Flair, I feel bad for her. Like, I really do feel bad for her. I just do. And, like, when they were doing was Best Dressed, right, Katie, when they interviewed Charlotte with the Best Dressed?
Oh, yeah, because she was talking about his robes and stuff.
She was talking about how he spent all this money on his robes. Yeah. I felt so bad for her. I really did.
Hey,
just
Wayne.
Piece of shit.
Yes, DeAndre?
Wayne, did you hear the rumor about Tanae's contract coming up?
Yeah, it was a week or two ago now, wasn't it? That was Gail Kim, Tanae, and someone else, wasn't it? Samoa Joe?
Yeah, I think Joe is the next one, too. But they've got this rumor floating around where this is very serious. Tanae might not be with TNA come the 1st of 2015, so we might see Justin Roberts as the new announcer for the next tapings.
What?
I think that's why they've got Josh Matthews in on a big contract.
I'm sorry, I meant Josh Matthews.
I was going to say, that makes more sense than freaking Mike Tanae.
Yeah, no, that was my bad. I got the two mixed up.
They also need to fire Earl Hebner, because every time I see that motherfucker in the ring, I think he's a goddamn skeleton. Oh my god, the guy is so fucking old.
Did you see Matt Hardy's posts of making history with both the Hebners in the same ring?
Is he insane? That fat fuck. Oh my god. Oh, I can't. Every time I see that dude in the ring, I'm just like, he's going to die.
Are you hearing the history that I'm telling you?
I hear the history.
The Hebners in the same ring as Bret Hart.
I don't care. When's
the last time that they were in the same ring?
Montreal.
When they got screwed. Oh.
Right.
It's done.
Earl Hebner still wears the I screwed Brett gimmick.
That's what I'm saying. It's ridiculous. The whole thing is just ridiculous. The guy needs to go away. Needs to fucking retire.
Stop
and go
giving
the
him
fuck
hate.
Away. I'm not giving him hate. He looks like a goddamn skeleton, Wayne.
He moves well for a 65-year-old.
He looks nothing like Angelina
He's
Love.
Always... He's always...
I was going to say Paige, but Angelina works.
Go back and watch those matches. That motherfucker is out of place every time he calls a fucking match. Every time. Because he can't get up and he can't move and he can't pay attention. Because there's lights somewhere.
A skeleton is too tan for Paige, just saying.
All right, moving on.
Oh, wow, that segment hit the fucking rails.
It did. Comments from the net, Wayne. Let's hear some emails, man.
All right, we'll start with Cal. Hey, yo. So for this week in pro wrestling history, I present you the following. October 13th, 1926, Killer Kowalski was born. Ladak Kowalski in Windsor, Ontario.
How you doing?
October 14th, 2005, Ring of Honor held Enter the Dragon in Cleveland, Ohio. In the show's main event, Bryan Danielson would make his first defense of the Ring of Honor title against Austin Aries.
How you doing?
October 14th, 2007, TNA Bound for Glory was held in Duluth, Georgia.
Yeah, that's correct, Duluth, Georgia.
Fucking hell, got something right. Yeah, in the main event, Sting defeated Kurt Angle in the TNA World Heavyweight Championship.
How you doing?
October 16th, 2003, Patriarch of the Hart family, Stu Hart, passed away at the age of 88 Free. After suffering a stroke.
Have some discipline.
How you doing?
Is that really 11 years ago?
Yep. You're getting old, Wayne.
Yeah. October 19th, 2003, WWE held No Mercy in Baltimore, Maryland. In the show's main event, Brock Lesnar defended...
Maryland.
Maryland.
What did I say?
Thank you, Heavy. Maryland.
Yeah, it's Maryland. No. It's pronounced Maryland.
Maryland, not Maryland. Maryland. It's not a fucking theme park, Wayne. It's not a theme park, Wayne.
I want to go to Antland.
Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down.
Just like it was in 2003.
Maryland. Fuck, you even got me saying it wrong. Maryland.
Is this going to be the new bloody Massachusetts?
No, not necessarily.
I'm noticing a problem with states that begin with M. Can you say Michigan? Montana? Missouri?
Mississippi?
Motherfucker.
Motherfucker isn't a state, is it, devil man? You're just being childish, man.
It's a state of mind.
It's devil's state of mind 24 hours a day.
So my Skype profile says.
Brock Lesnar defended the WWE Championship against The Undertaker in a biker chain match. Kata out.
How you doing? That email was H-A-W-T hot.
It was... I was going to say something really harsh. I'm not going to.
Go ahead.
No. I'm actually nice, devil.
No, you're not.
Take notes.
No, you're fucking
not.
No,
you just know your joke's going to bomb like...
Yep.
Okay.
Next.
Moving on to Biohazard King. He's got a lovely short email. It's brilliant. Hey, DSJMP. This week, my question is about women's wrestling. With TNA given the knockouts legitimate match time and storylines, do you think the WWE should follow suit? Wayne would agree that a 15-minute AJ and Paige match would be great wrestling. Yes, I would.
Well, you know, at least Biohazard listens.
Let Heavy answer this one.
Go ahead, Heavy.
Chirp, chirp.
When you do chirp, chirp, I can't cut out the chirp, chirp, but I can cut out the silence really easy.
Chirp, chirp.
All right, Katie, go ahead. Talking about divas, go ahead.
Well, it depends on which divas are there, if you want to put them in a long match. I mean, Paige and AJ could do a long match, but it depends on the storyline, which is kind of boring right now. So that's hard to say.
Okay. DRG?
Yes, they could do it. Say they bring Charlotte up and Charlotte wants to be the new professional wrestling face of the Divas division. Have her go in a start out 10-minute match against someone like AJ and Paige. And yeah, they could do it. The fact of the matter is that's just not how WWE presents their women talents. TNA does, but WWE does not present them that way. But they could. They just don't.
Wayne?
Obviously, it depends on each case, but there is several combinations I'd like to see, longer matches where they could actually tell stories in the ring, which they just can't in a minute and a half. You know, Naomi can put on a match, Paige can obviously put on a match, AJ can put on a match, Charlotte. Bailey, I don't think's quite there. I like her and she is rapidly getting better, but you know, she's definitely one in the future that could put on a longer match.
Emma.
Natalia. So yeah, there's definitely, if you're gonna put on the likes of fucking, I can't think of anyone really, shit come to mind, but you know what I mean, the typical throwaway Monday Night Raw Divas segment, then yeah, I don't want to see them.
The Mendez.
Yeah, exactly. Eva Marie, Rosa Mendez. Who, actually, I'm getting quite a thing against Rosa Mendez. The way she was just gawking around on Raw was pissing me off. But yeah, hey, I don't want to see them extended.
Help how they look.
It's just, oh, she's so fucking cringe in the ring, the way she moves and claps and
dumb.
Yeah, I don't want to see them sort of bits extended, but there is definitely potential in the division to have longer matches.
Heavy set.
What was the exact question? I stepped away for a bit.
That's fine. The exact question was, Wayne?
Do you think the WWE should follow suit by having like 15-minute legitimate matches? You know, sort of longer 10-minute matches?
For
proper.
For the Diva.
Yeah.
Yes and no. I think that they should definitely get those type of matches at pay-per-views, but it's like, there's certain ones that will be able to do it, certain ones that won't be able to do it. But on a side note, and I will say it again, and I'll say it every week, Eva Marie should definitely be Divas Champion.
Yes.
I was waiting for DRG to say yes.
Because we know, because I'll say it again, that she has a heel written all over because everybody's going to hate her.
Okay. We've seen Emma and Paige go at it, and I thought it was one of the best Diva matches that I've seen. Now, watching TNA and being able to see the difference between the two, Havoc definitely is a good wrestler. Gail Kim, definitely a good wrestler. The other ones, I'm not very convinced at all. I know DRG is going to disagree with me on that. I'm just not.
No, actually, I'm not, because I think Taryn is overrated, and I think Angelina is played out. Can Angelina and Madison Rayne wrestle? Yes, they can. I don't think Taryn is on their level. And Brittany, the girl that you were gawking over with Samuel Shaw, if they ever give her a chance, she is a really good wrestler as well.
I like her. She's really good looking. But Natty can go. I'm going to really piss off Heavy Set here. Natty is a fantastic wrestler. Natty is a fucking boring wrestler. I'm sorry. She just is. She has all the moves. She just can't put them together in the proper order to get me to pay attention long enough to give a fuck about what she's doing in the ring. I'm sorry. She just can't do it. I don't know what is going on with her. I don't know why. She just can't keep my concentration on the match, which is very rare. I do enjoy wrestling matches, and I do. Paige and Emma on the first NXT was fantastic. Even the last NXT show that they had against Charlotte and Bayley, I really, really liked that match. But not being able to see AJ and Paige go at it has been a travesty. And then the rest of them are pretty much, honestly, are pretty much fucking useless. So
here's one thing about Natty, though. Like, a lot of people loved her match against Charlotte. Sometimes when it comes to wrestling, you are only as good as the person you're putting up against.
It's true.
She doesn't have legit competition in the division.
That is the number one reason why Taryn Terrell's matches last year came across so well, is because she was facing Gail Kim.
Yeah, I've never seen Natty against any really decent opponent for a long period of time. I haven't. I missed that whole month that Natty was in NXT. And I had births and stuff in my family. So I missed that whole entire month that Natty was going against anybody of relevance. I really enjoy Bailey. I do. And it's not just because I think she's attractive. It's just, I really enjoy her wrestling. I think it's entertaining. I think it's something different. I think she's got the skills. She sells moves very well. Just like Charlotte does. Who's that? I always forget her name. Who's that chick that does the boss gimmick?
Sasha Banks.
Ratchet. I forget. Yeah, she's fucking ratchet, first of all. Let's just say that. She is ratchet. Second of all, she's not good. She's not good in the ring. I haven't seen enough of the new Irish girl or the little pixie girl yet either. So I haven't seen enough of either one of those to be any judge. But all the rest of the girls in the WWE, as far as the main roster is concerned, I think they're a bunch of garbage, to be honest with you. Maybe there's a one or two on the Divas that are pretty decent, but other than that, not much. Really not much. But I think it's, like we were talking about last week, I think it's a huge disadvantage that we're not seeing them, AJ and Paige, go at it for a good 10, 20-minute session. I think it's a fucking huge black mark in the WWE's eye. I really do. I think it's a travesty. Anyway, Wayne, next email.
I just want to say you can follow the Biohazard King at the Biohazard King. Take out the A's in the title, though.
There you go. Nice job, Wayne.
Thank you. We'll go to the last email now, and that is from Andy Anderson. And he goes, hey, boys and girls. Oh, it was actually, hi, boys and Katie, sorry. first question, DRG. You were happy with... Oh, fuck. All right, my eyesight's gone. Excuse me. It's happened. I've done so well to this point. First question, DRG. You were happy you... Oh, fucking hell.
Hang on.
You're happy.
Mother,
this better not turn into a weekly thing when I fuck up. 15
bucks, little man, put that shit in my hand. If that money doesn't show, then you owe me, owe me, owe me, owe me, owe me.
My jungle love.
Owe me, owe me, owe me, owe me.
I think I wanna know ya, know ya.
Know ya.
What are you singing?
You don't know jungle love.
Thanks, Double A.
Thank you for that, man.
Appreciate that, Double A.
What has just happened?
You said fuck
you
more than once.
You
said fuck more than once. There you go.
Fuck.
You started it.
I so hope that don't turn into a thing.
Well, quit fucking up the emails.
Never.
Go ahead, Ron.
First question, DRG. Were you happy with your purchase to the pay-per-view?
Yes, I got what I expected.
All right. Next question.
Second, do you think New York and Philadelphia having a late NFL game affected the boys for Bound for Glory? Those are two huge markets for TNA.
No, I don't. I honestly think that their story and not building up to it is what affected Bound for Glory's buy rate. But I don't know what they are at the point.
I agree with the call The Rock made on All Wrestling Week in Review.
What the fuck did he just say?
Said he agrees with The Rock.
And he also said the All Wrestling Week in Review at the AllWrestling.com Week in Review.
What did he agree with The Rock?
Well, if you let me finish, buddy, when he said TNA needs to change Bound for Glory to a different date.
Tits and erections. TNE.
Yeah, I've said that for fucking ever.
Bound for Glory. I did not know this. I honestly thought Slammiversary was their biggest pay-per-view of the year before Hogan came in, but that's not true because in 2005 they started billing Bound for Glory as the biggest pay-per-view. So I was wrong in saying that they should go back to what they did before the Hogan regime. But at this point, the Slammiversary show makes the most sense. And if they are smart, which we're not saying that Dixie Carter is that, but if they were smart, they would move their biggest show of the year to Slammiversary starting in 2015.
Preliminary estimates on Bound for Glory are ranging between 20,000 and 25,000 buys. Last year's show did 35,000 to 40,000, Mesler writes. It's frustrating to be America's number two wrestling company. Unlike most, their monthly pay-per-views, which are just thrown out there with little to no promotion, the average most pay-per-view events is around 8,000 buys. That's from the Bleacher Report.
That's not bad, considering like all the cost saving and everything they done for with Wrestle One promoting and that. They probably made not that different.
How much
money
was
it?
How much was it, DRG?
They probably made more. I paid 40. You could get it in high def for 50. If that's way higher than I was expecting, between 15K and 20K at max. So if they got higher than 20K, then they did better than what I was expecting. And
roughly around, let's say I put $45 down just to be, you know, just to be in the middle between the two. And with 20,000 buys, that was $900,000. And then pay-per-view.
The only cost they paid was flying talent over there.
Can I fucking finish? Give me one second.
Sorry.
Divided by two, bitches. Because pay-per-view takes half of it is $450,000. So yeah, they made money because they didn't pay for anything except for the, as DRG said, the flights going over there.
Well, it's the flights and the time for Tanae and them recording it and whatnot, which I will give props because people were saying, I can't believe they're recording it live when they're watching it, da-da-da-da. They came off really well with them doing that. But the fact of the matter is think about how many more buys they would have gotten and how much more money they could have made. It's good that they made money off this, for as stupid as everybody on the internet said it was that they did it this way. They made money. They could have made a shit ton more.
Yeah, they could have. What's up? What's the rest of the email, Wayne?
I could not pull myself to buy the pay-per-view because it was at 60 now. If you want to look at Teen Anal Heaven for pay-per-views and matching it up with the WWE Network, the pay-per-view should have been listed at $29.97. At that price range, I could see myself being more likely to purchase the pay-per-view. Other reasons I'm glad I didn't purchase the pay-per-view were no Bound for Glory series build-up, the show was not live, no title match, no build-up, one story of no resolution, and the biggest downfall being four sides, not six. That's my thoughts this week, and that's been my nickel.
Oh my god.
That was better that was than my... It was better than my pebble droppings last
week. So, the four sides instead of six, to me, is a plus. To heavy sets a plus, but yeah, it's definitely the storyline and the no build up was definitely what the thing that I think. The live definitely hurt them, right? DRG,
really though, because in all honesty, I didn't catch any spoilers, and the quality of them calling the matches live, like recording live for the pay per view, nothing really got hurt by that happening. And there was one spot in the Kaz Hayashi and Joe and Key where Low-Key was in the corner giving elbows to Joe, and it kind of cut to the crowd for a second, and then it went to Joe picking him up out of the corner and giving him a powerbomb. Assume that something happened there and it botched. They were able to take that out and then make it a little bit more seamless to not seem like they fucked up on, you know, a live pay-per-view.
You don't think it had anything to do with like any arrogance by the, you know, American public to expect everything for them to be live?
Oh, I think that American viewers, like me and Kata, and I know he's not American, but me and Kata have an idea of what to expect when we see the pay-per-view quality from a Japanese promotion. And that's what Wrestle 1 is. The American viewers aren't going to, when they see something like Corrigan Hall, they're going to see, oh shit, and this isn't live, and they're doing Wrestle 1 cross-promotion, and they're doing this? Fuck this company, they're stupid. I see the business side of it, which was they allowed a company to host the majority of the cost in which they would make money on the pay-per-view. And it came off really well. From a wrestling standpoint, it was a good pay-per-view. If they would have added build to it, it would have been an excellent pay-per-view.
Hey, they said, what do you think added to the $10,000 subscriber going away?
I don't know, but I should have texted DRG a bunch of spoilers.
Yeah, I ignored my phone that day for that exact reason. I literally did because I was afraid that Kata was going to send me a DM and group me, or that you were going to text me, or somebody was going to say something.
Yeah, exactly. Anything else, Wayne? Was that the last one?
That was it.
Okay.
Right, good job, AA. Those are some good questions. Thank you.
Thank you, AA. Thank you, everybody who emailed this week. As always, Kata and Biohazard. You can email us at dsjnp.com@gmail.com. And now we're going to go into the... So this is the segment that Heavy came up with last week. And Heavy, what did that guy say on... What podcast were you listening to that what he was on? You said it was...
Justin Labar, WrestleZone, not WrestleZone Raw, Wrestling Reality. I didn't catch all of it. Mm-hmm. I have to re-listen to it because I was a little bit busy.
Okay, and he was talking about his Tag Me a Date website.
Yeah, it was the two creators.
Two creators were on there. Did they give you any hints or suggestions on what to do?
They said today, the site's finally going to go live. Like, actually, like, you can not just sign up and everything.
Okay, so we're gonna
tag a date.
We're actually going to be able to tag a date here. Okay, so I signed up. I put my screen name in, and I put my password in, all that stuff. So on the main page, I got wrestler profile. In order to receive your subscription free until February 1st, you must complete this profile. Before you get into the ring, meet your soulmate. Tell us about yourself. So I put my first name, my last name, my zip code. I kept my name anonymous. City and state. Let me click on that, see what it says. Yep, it's got my city and state there. Gender.
Unknown.
Gender is a man. I'm seeking a diva. My age is 31. I'm seeking
Can you put your location down as parts unknown?
No, you cannot. Yeah, you have to put a zip code. Although I think that'd be really cool if you could.
Death Valley, Nevada is on there, isn't it?
If you have the right zip code, it is.
I thought Death Valley was in California.
No, Death Valley is like Nevada, Arizona.
Both. It's both. It reaches into... Anyway, let's not talk about that. Seeking age, I put 26 to 34, but should I put 35 to 42, guys?
No, you should put 26 to 30 because you could not hire anybody after the age of 30.
It won't let me do that.
Oh.
It only lets me do from 26 to 34 to 35 to 42 to 43 to 50 to 51 to 64.
Go for the fresh meat.
To 65 to 80.
65 and up.
To 65 to 80.
65.
Wow, that's for
RMH. Here you go,
that's
Wayne.
No, 65 to 80 should have the banner. Woo!
Wayne, this is yours. Now. This is yours, Wayne. 18 to 25.
Sweet.
You fucking creepy.
And then anything
fuck.
Below 18 should have the banner of Jared the King Lawler.
All right. first question is favorite wrestler?
Bastion Booger.
That's not my favorite wrestler.
Trips.
We're not doing your favorite wrestler, buddy. The whole point of this is for us to set it up.
Come on,
you.
Seriously?
I generally want him to get some...
I'm going
to
put Triple H, and then you guys...
No, Roman Reigns.
I'm not putting Roman Reigns.
I want him to get some flesh because of this website. That'd be awesome.
Roman Reigns.
So I got laid last night.
Dude, bitches love Roman
right,
Reigns.
So no, favorite no, finish.
CM Punk.
No, fuck that too. I'll get some freaked out chick. Favorite finishing move. Anybody want to suggest a favorite finishing move?
Rear naked choke hold.
Stink face.
I knew DRG was going to say that.
Bronco Buster.
Bronco Buster. Yes.
From OGB.
Face full of stuff. Face full of stuff.
Anything that involves you being on top of someone.
Katie. This
the
is
the ice pick.
I'm not
Matt
deleting
Hardy,
this.
Ice pick.
Favorite catchphrase.
Got the crotch in your face.
Favorite catchphrase.
Prepare them for you being a failure in bed and go with the go to sleep.
Favorite catchphrase.
Yes.
Hello, ladies.
Really?
Well,
how many other guys are going to have hello ladies?
To be the man, you have to beat the man.
Or beat your man.
No, that's okay.
To be the man.
What was it? It's not my fault.
Damn.
His favorite phrase should be, I don't care.
I don't care.
Favorite entrance. I don't even know what that means. Favorite
Undertaker.
Entrance music?
You're not a
music entrance. Yeah, I was about to say, if I was a video game, I'd be able to pick one. But
DX with the little cross fireworks.
What's Gangrel.
Gangrel, okay.
Wait. Okay, how'd that go, Wayne?
That was a little... that was a little Kiwi, Wayne.
Kiwi, call me.
Kiwi, call me.
Swear to God, if we ever get that popular, that's the first fucking t-shirt I'm going to make.
That's going
to
be our trend. Don't tweet the table. Kiwi, call me.
Kiwi, call me. Favorite tag team?
Billy and Chuck.
Done.
No, you're not tight in this.
Favorite
now,
manager?
Jamie Noble and Nibia.
Favorite manager?
Oh, yes.
Johnny Polo.
Ooh, I like that one.
I don't even know who that is. Who's Johnny Polo?
Raven. Yeah, Raven.
Oh, wow.
He had that before he was Johnny Polo.
Well, DRG's got something. Heavyset has something. Actually, DRG has two. Heavyset has one. Wayne, you got anything?
What?
Favorite manager. Katie, anything? Favorite manager?
I'd go serious and go Paul Heyman with this one.
Yeah.
Actually, Bobby the Brain would be my serious one.
Go with that. Okay. And you could be like, otherwise that would just look like you're taking the piss out of the thing.
If you could be any wrestler, who would you be? Fucking Triple H. But you guys can pick that one. Anybody?
No,
I'd say Triple H.
I'll say Triple H.
Everybody's saying Triple H. Married to Stephanie, why the fuck would
be
the boss? Be Triple H?
Fuck it, be the boss.
Yeah, exactly. If you're gonna be anything, be the fucking
win-win man.
Yeah, I know. You get to fuck Stephanie, and you can be the boss.
No, you were right. You get to fuck Triple H.
Yeah, that too. I get to fuck Triple H, and I get to be the boss. How many weeks
problem
in a month?
Is, the only thing is you'd have to have his nose. That's the only downside.
I don't care.
We can make
you can use it to shove it up. You can use it to shove it up Stephanie's ass. Who gives a shit? How many weeks in a month do you watch wrestling? Is that a trick 52. Question?
52.
In a month, DRG?
52 in a month.
That's 50 what they call
52
a year.
Weeks in a month?
No, 52. We're wrestling fans. We're not smart.
What days
now.
A week do you watch wrestling? Monday, Thursday, Wednesday, Sunday.
What about Thursday?
Thursday would be NXT, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Friday.
Not to mention with the network, you could watch it every day of the week.
Yeah, I know.
For only $9.99.
Shut up, Wayne.
Do wait a minute. Follow- for only what? Should I? For what?
No, do not do that. Do you watch pay-per-views? Yes, they're only $9.99.
How much?
That's why I was waiting.
I hate you all.
Have you ever been to a live pay-per-view? Yes, of course I have. I've been to WrestleMania.
This is fucking brilliant.
If yes, tell us about it.
It was amazing.
I have been to WrestleMania.
Great, it was amazing. I had saw matches. That was it.
Did you go to Access, there. Devil?
No, I wish I did. Dude, the tickets I bought were really fucking expensive. They just were like $350, and I paid for both my brother and my dad.
Just put Triple H was there. Dude. I came.
Triple H was there. Dude, I did not come because I wasn't close enough.
TLC is going to be in Cleveland, and I looked at ticket prices. The highest they go up. Granted, when I went to Unforgiven and I had second row seats, I paid like $175. Highest they go up now is $500.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. I paid $95 for each ticket for me and another person to go.
Was your one Undertaker trips, was it?
It was. It was the first one. Undertaker, Triple H. No, it was the last one was the Hell in the Cell, right?
Yeah,
so it was the first one. It was the one where they busted through the coal mine, and he submitted him. I was actually really happy because my dad finally got to see The Undertaker. He took us to a Raw when we were kids, and then my dad finally that was the Raw. Undertaker couldn't make it because he had family problems, but my dad finally got to see The Undertaker live, so I was really happy about that. We were probably like 10 rows up. We weren't that bad, but it wasn't awesome. As close as we wanted it to. My first time going ever was the Raw that Stone Cold Steve Austin drove into the arena with his truck and then stunned the Nation of Domination on his truck. And my dad was like 5 feet away from Stone Cold in his truck because he got caught coming back from the concession stands. And then that was the same one that Shawn Michaels came out when he was fighting Bret Hart. And then Triple H did that that twisting thing with his boot because he'd been training. It was really funny. So it was a Thanksgiving episode. That was the one we were at. WrestleMania 28.
So you were not typing this whole time?
No, I was talking.
He can't do two things at once, bless him.
No, I can't. Look who's talking. What was your earliest wrestling memory? Tatanka. It is.
I forgot to mention him in my autobiography. It is.
It is my earliest wrestling memory. Tatanka.
First, you insult the Japanese
Monday
people.
Night Raw.
At least they have the foam tomahawk.
Did you really?
Yeah.
God, I'd be so jealous.
A friend of mine fucking broke it. I want to kill him.
I would have killed him.
You could have taken it to Raw Atlanta and done the whole chop with it.
Well, I was in Atlanta.
Create profile. Let's see what happens. Thinking. Oh, crap. I think I have to pre-registration.
Put in your credit card information.
Oh, here you go. Thank you for registering. Come back October 14th to enjoy Tag Me a Date free until February 1st. What's today's date?
15th.
Today's the 14th.
14th for another 17
It's been
minutes.
15 for 5 hours here, thank you.
Well,
yeah, but you're on future time.
Let's
I'm
go
in the future.
Follow me and tag me a
Apparently
date.
Apparently the future people get dumb.
That's not very nice.
I've seen Idiocracy, buddy.
Let's see what happens when I... Let's see if they have an update when I follow them.
Sign all British people are dumb.
No, just yep. You.
Just Bob.
Definitely just Bob. The day has come. Make sure you turn into Justin LaBar, True Live Radio. That was what Heavy was talking about. Here we come, Road Trip. They don't have any updates. That's fantastic, guys. Okay, well, we'll come back to that Tag Me a Date. That segment.
Well, that was a successful feature.
Miserable.
Miserable.
I'll have to see you get a response by next week.
You got your hand out there. You're just waiting for the tag.
Just waiting.
That's right.
Just waiting for that hot tag.
Hot tag, buddy.
Just waiting for that hot tag. All right, guys.
I swear, if you get somebody that comes and meets you in person, you have got to get them on the podcast.
Oh, I will. Oh, yeah. She'll be sitting next to me.
Make sure you take your dad or your brother as an escort or a mascot to look after you.
Wayne, you know they don't live near me. What the fuck are you talking? I'll have to call Heavy
to
come drive.
It's a joke. It's a joke. Knock, knock. Who's there? Two old women on Raw. Joke.
did you say brother? I heard brother.
Brother.
Brother. No, brother. He does. Listen to Wayne when he talks. Brother.
Wayne is my brother.
It's his brother.
From another mother.
Best of the week, Katie, the first lady. You've been quiet a lot during this podcast. People are unhappy. They need another.
Because she's creating her troll account for you. Contact me a day.
You know my zip code, Katie.
Go live with that all night.
Well, my best of the week is actually going to happen on Thursday. Myself and my elite, my niece.
Your elite? Wow, we are tired, ladies and gentlemen.
My elite niece, Alyssa, a.k.a. Wayne's number one fan, will be going to Barnes & Noble on Staten Island to meet Chris Jericho and get his book signed.
You said it like a Staten Island girl. Barnes & Noble. To meet Chris Jericho. That's awesome.
Is that the same place, Devil, that Kerry Alwes was at the other day that Claire was going to
mention? It's not the exact same place, Wayne. I told you, Barnes & Noble is a retail chain in America. They're in every goddamn city.
Yeah, I have one in the middle of nowhere, Texas.
You poor British people.
We have Waterstones.
It's going to be at 7 o'clock. She's coming tomorrow, and she's going to stay overnight, and we're going to go there and get his book signed. She's going to get two copies, actually, one for her and one for her boyfriend, because that's his favorite wrestler.
Oh, Wayne, she has a boyfriend.
And I have a wife.
Oh, you never mentioned your wife.
Well, devil don't count.
That's right.
Touche.
DRG, best of the week.
Full Metal Mayhem. I love how, like, when you watch the old school TLCs, it was all about the story of Edge and Christian being the opportunist when they got the titles down. Whereas in Full Metal Mayhem, it was about Davey Richards taking that power bomb on the guardrail and Eddie Edwards getting, you know, double hip toss from the top of a ladder. And it was about them persevering through all the punishment that they went through before they ended up getting the titles. A lot of people said it was just a spot fest, but there was a good story in there if you paid attention.
It wasn't a spot fest. They did have a lot of good spots, but it wasn't a spot fest. Matt Hardy needs to fucking go the goddamn away.
Did you see the power bomb he took through the table?
I don't care, dude. He's done. He's so done. He's fatter than me.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
He eats grapes. He's lost weight. Matt Hardy is a ring general. He's one of those people that's like Christopher Daniels. When he's in the ring, his wrestling is not going to like completely blow your mind, but he commands the ring and puts people in the right places for the right things to happen. I think that he is of value.
Okay. All right.
What spot then, DRG, do you reckon was the most painful? Because I said the guardrail
it's
bit.
The guardrail.
Claire
the guard
said the Jeff Hardy flying on the bully ray on the outside table was the one that made her ouch.
The guardrail.
You want to know my honest, what I thought hurt the most? When I believe it was Eddie Edwards threw the ladder. No, it was Devon threw the ladder at Jeff Hardy. No, it was Davey Richards threw the ladder at Jeff Hardy when he was going for that poetry of motion in the corner. And just chunked it full force, and it hit Hardy's forearm, and he just went flying back. I thought he took his head off. It was awesome.
I'll tell you what looked like it really hurt was when Eddie fell off almost the top of the ladder onto the floor and hit his head on the guardrail.
Oh yeah,
I thought he was going to bleed everywhere. I swear I did. I thought he was just going to bleed.
I thought he was
hardweight. He definitely had a lump on that one, but definitely the power bomb. Because what they did, guys, is they took the stairs, turned them sideways so they were standing upright, and then it was Devon. Devon took a guardrail that was under the ring, an extra piece of guardrail, and laid it flat like a table across from the ring to the top of the stairs, and then got in the ring and then power bombed one of the wolves. Which one was it?
No, it was a Bully Ray power bomb Davey Richards from the top
through to the guardrail that was hosting in between.
And bent the guardrail. Like, legitimately bent
the
guardrail.
And that was a real
bitch.
Guardrail.
Real guardrail.
It wasn't gimmick.
Wasn't no table. Full on fucking metal. That guy didn't move for the next, like, probably 10 minutes in that match.
You know, my spot of the night was whenever Eddie Edwards took, I think it was Jeff Hardy, and tossed him up like Davey Richards was fixed to kick him for their finisher. And then Bully Ray, out of nowhere, pushes Davey Richards and puts him in a 3D.
Like, that was good. That was a good spot. It was a good spot.
It was so cool. I was sitting there going, that was smart. I didn't realize how well those two finishers played into
and they
each other.
They kind of just looked at each other for a minute. They were like, what did we just do? What?
Yeah.
Why did we just do that?
Yeah, that match, if they talk about match of the year contenders, that one was, everybody on Twitter was going off, match of the year, match of the year, match of the year.
I don't think it'll win.
Honestly don't, but that's one of TNA's top three matches of the year.
Okay, I'll go with that, but I don't know about match of the year. Go ahead, Wayne. Best of the week.
My best of the week, both of them have been touched on this week. One of them was Full Metal Mayhem. So I'm going to go with Triple H and Rock segment on SmackDown, just because I'm a fucking mark for, like, retro, and I'd actually like to see the WrestleMania match. I know a lot of people are going to go, oh, fuck off, I don't want to see that. No, if they done it...
Fuck off, I don't want to see that.
Mixed in with, like, proper, if they done the story, like their feud over the years, match by match, really built up, and that was like, this is officially the last time, and that'd be awesome. I'd really like to see that.
I would.
The chemistry they had on SmackDown just make me laugh. I know it's me being a mark,
No, I would absolutely 100% love to see Rock and Cena. I mean, Rock and Triple H at WrestleMania.
If you were a wrestler, who would you be again, Vamp?
Triple H.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. No, in all honesty, though, there's so much history there that they could get that really hot.
They grew up together in the business. I mean, that's just it would be a great match. It would
their
be.
Their ladder match for the IC belt was one of my favorite matches of all time from WWE.
Oh my god, yes. All right, best of the week, heavy set.
His rap being played on DSTV.
Oh, yeah.
Shoot.
For the millions and thousands of listeners.
The tens of sixties of listeners. For me, the best of the week can be described in two words.
Uh-oh.
People power.
Oh, you got to be. Are you kidding me?
Dude, I'm a huge John Laurinaitis fan, okay?
Why are you such a John Laurinaitis fan?
The fact you don't like John Laurinaitis makes you out of line, okay?
I gotta say, I prefer that impression than the Dusty Rhodes one that he always drags on.
I listen back at work, okay? I want you to understand this. I listen back at work on Sunday to our podcast, and I was talking like Dusty Rhodes for the next 30 minutes at my fucking job. I was like, you know, baby, it's Dusty Rhodes. Talk like Dusty Rhodes Day, baby.
That's right, baby.
It's super, super, baby. Can you please fill those diapers for me, baby?
Oh, we don't have this. Well, that's hard time, baby.
My wife threatened to leave me if I continued to talk like that.
I brought one of my people up to the my office, and I was talking to them. I was like, you know what day it is? No. It's Sunday. Yeah, but you know what day it is? No. It's Talk Like Dusty Rhodes Day, baby.
It's International Talk Like Dusty Rhodes Day, baby.
Yeah,
the only correct answer besides that would have been Sean Connery's birthday.
Sean Connery's birthday? Tell Alex Trebek I said to fuck off.
Oh, that was really bad. I hope you go back and listen to that.
The Pest with John Leguizamo?
Yeah.
Yep.
Do you know what day it is? Sean Connery's birthday? Sean Connery's birthday!
All right.
I like to party with the beat. Chris and Creed playing three card money on these crazy streets.
Besides that, what is your best of the week? Heavy set.
John Laurinaitis, okay?
Oh, you were serious about that.
I like John Laurinaitis. Fuck
He's got
off!
To teach. Damn it.
Okay. All right. My best of the week.
Oi, Katie.
Katie did her best of the week. I started with her. Oi.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, girls go first. Okay.
Sorry, I apologize.
Isn't second shift where I forget where I'm
Chris
at,
Jericho.
Bitch.
That's my best of the week.
She's dating Chris Jericho. Duh.
Not dating.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said you were dating Chris Jericho. I apologize.
Come on, baby.
My face is so palmed right now.
My best of the week is I was talking like Dusty on the walkie. Yeah, baby. No, my best of the week actually was the was definitely the Randy Orton Dolph Ziggler match. To watch them two go at it was a definitely highlight of my week, because I haven't seen NXT this week, so I haven't had any real wrestling in. That last TNA I saw just like maybe hours before I got on the podcast. Just other than the Full Metal Mayhem, it just wasn't that good.
Like Samuel Shaw's sunset flip onto the stack of chairs.
It was okay. It's like that whole, it was just okay, DRG. It wasn't that good. It was okay.
I understand. You don't have an investment into characters.
Yeah, not yet.
I get that.
Like, not yet. That's why I was asking you all those fucking questions that grouped me. I was like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. Explain this to me.
I guess to me, because I judge matches on the moves and what I remember from the match. Like that Full Metal Mayhem match, we just sat there and listed off spot after spot after spot after spot.
Yeah, that's...
I can list off spots from like a Samoa Joe in an Austerage. I could list off spots from that Joe Key and Kaz match from Bound for Glory. The only spot I can list from Dolph Ziggler and Randy Orton is the RKO.
It's not the spot, man. It's not, to me, with them two, it's not the spot. It's the entire match. It's the entire thing where they're showing what they can do in the ring, and I just enjoy it. And I may not be the best at it, and I'm not good at recalling moves in the ring, and I'm not good at calling dates, and I'm not, as you guys pointed out earlier, I'm not the best wrestling fan in the whole entire world. Yeah, evidently not, fucking Wayne. Evidently not. That's what I'm saying right now. But I do know a good wrestling match when I see one. And I really did enjoy that match. And I have to say that was the best.
It was a good match, but what I'm saying is what was so memorable about it? The fact that Randy Orton was interacting with Dolph Ziggler, or the match?
Because both. I'd say what was really good is Orton is fucking crisp on performing moves, and Ziggler is fucking great at selling together.
Every second, man, he's just, both of them are just good. Both of them are just really, really good, and they're on their fucking game right now. Neither
like
one
when
of them hurt
Orton
or done injured
the flip
or anything.
On Ziggler into the corner, and he goes face first straight into the turnbuckle.
So good. Just, they play off each other so well, and I don't know why we haven't seen more of that earlier. I just don't know why. Anyway, that was the best of the week for me. Does anybody have anything else before we go? This has been a really long fucking show, so please say no.
Damian Sandow mimicking Miz is fucking hilarious.
It is. Oh,
I can't
it is
wait
very
to see
funny.
The Sheamus one. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, I've seen a picture of it. And it looks hilarious.
It is very, very funny. Anybody else? Last minute, Katie, anything else before we go?
No, I'm good.
Okay. DRG?
Fuck off, Kane!
Fuck off, Kane!
Fuck off, Kane. I don't think H listens to us. That was the WrestleCast for this week. Episode, Katie.
Follow me at Katie First Lady, K-I-K-T-I-E, the number one STLADY. You'll get to see a picture of me with Chris Jericho and Alyssa, probably.
What episode was it, Katie?
35.
DRG?
You can find me at Mr. MRDRG underscore WIR, and you'll notice that it's me because I'm the one that has Mike Tenay following me.
How you doing? Wayne is a baker.
At Wayne's a baker, at Second Shift Pod, that's where the big boys play.
You did not just say that.
Look at
me.
The adjective.
Boys. Exactly. Heavy set.
I see what you did there.
Thank you. Thank you. Heavy set.
You can find me at hashtag CrankyCata with a K.
That's HeavySet330 on Twitter, and me, Devil Vamp, as always, Devil Vamp on Twitter. And you can always please keep the conversation going. DSJ and PCOM on Twitter, Facebook.com/DSJNP. If that's not creepy enough for you, Mike Solo, fuck off. Peace, bitches. Later.
Have a great week, guys.
Light won't glow. Wonder why my life won't grow. Fleecing on a thin tightrope. Trust fall for the God I know. My hands. hands, they tremble, they shake. I can't carry this weight, the burden's piling so high. It must be all my mistakes, my heart, I've made it so gross. Still, you've managed to stay. You say that narrow's the road, I'ma start walking that way. Arms outstretched, trees like palms, hands are free, see my palms. I'm the King David, you read in Psalms. Seek God out as I sing my songs. Explode on the track, cause the beat's so bomb. So when it knows that the road's so long. Chains on wrist, yes, we got bond. Pains of sin, but we got God. Bull with the world like teachers chalk. Time to turn back like preachers talk. Repentance, I see you, Paul. Itching for the word like fleas on dogs. Created a gap, storing them all. It's more than rap, restore all. Give you everything with my two front paws. Heart attached to my open jaw. Go! My hands, they tremble, they shake. I can't carry this weight. The burden's piling so high. It must be all my mistakes. My heart, I've made it so gross. Still, you've managed to stay. You say that narrow's the road. I'ma start walking that way. Oh, in this pain and fear, I lie, I feel like I'm a lonely peasant in a queen-sized bed. Unpleasant thoughts running through my head. Must be a curse for the things I did. Have you hung on every single little word I said? Should have cling to every single little word I read. And I wouldn't be single with all the stress. What you do and don't do got consequence. Hindsight's clear and it all makes sense. Oh, and I'm through running away. Hey, I feel like my hands, they tremble, they shake. I can't carry this weight. The burden's piling so high. It must be all my mistakes. My heart, I've made it so gross. Still, you've managed to stay. You say that narrow's the road. I'ma start walking that way. We should have a bond like a tight-knit crew. I'm the dude in the boy band left the group. Couldn't tell you to your face, so I texted you. Tried to do it on my own, but I couldn't produce. Got scared like nightmares, wishing I would wake up. Looking kinda pale like a girl with no makeup. Conflict with sin, and I'm ready for the breakup. I'm gone forever, don't expect makeup. Give me the green, no red light. Can't hear God, no prayer life. World's darkness, we're rare light. Breathe God in, it's airtight. Whore of Gomorrah, bottom of Sodom. My heart is entangled in all these problems. Find the key, Lord, and unlock this. And unleash the beast like the Loch Ness. My hands, they tremble, they shake. I can't carry this weight. The burden's piling so high. It must be all my mistakes. My heart, I've made it so gross. Still, you've managed to stay. You say that narrow's the road. I'ma start walking that way.